What's this?
Oh, that's a CB. What'd you do with that as you pushed down on that thing and held that other thing down? And it makes your voice go up in radio waves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I heard it. That was high and tight.
Our story is the story of two guys who start at the bottom, with a lot of hard work, continue along the bottom, and finally end up at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, that's an intriguing scenario.
Yeah, it's a rags-to-rags story.
Yeah, imagine it. Yeah, did you see the one about the guys who started at the bottom, stayed at the bottom, and at the end they were still at the bottom?
Yes, that's our line.
So inspirational. Who'd go and see that?
I think I'd see that.
I'd go and see that, yeah.
I would do anything for love! But I won't do that!
I don't even know what that is.
I think maybe we should just sit here quietly now, not say anything, and let you just kind of contemplate on the news I just dropped on you, and let me kind of just contemplate on my own pains and sorrows right now, perhaps while I listen to this music.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I smoke a lot of pot.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
To repeat that for the stoners showing up late.
Roll another one.
The best tonic is chronic.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
That's not pot.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done.
Roll another one.
Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
Just like the other one.
I am so big.
This one seems to be about.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
And I don't have another cent.
Stone.
But don't bogart that joint.
I think this weird hunch he might be high.
Just pass it around.
Hi, you're on the pot.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
God damn it, I love pot.
And now...
Do you smoke a lot of pot?
Medicinal, now. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Our feature presentation.
Medicinal.
Oh, really, Katie says.
Hey, am I talking to the right side? Is this right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so, yeah.
That looks weird. Feels weird.
Sounds weird.
DJ Spina Bifida in the house! Yay, yay!
Hey, I hate the handicapped, as you guys know.
Yeah.
I don't care for them. I don't like them. I think they should be sent away. I don't want to see them. I don't want to know them. Do we have more handicapped parking in the parking lot now than ever before?
Yeah.
Like, are the first 80 spots out there for handicapped?
They added the spot that I always park in.
Uh-huh.
They changed it to handicapped.
How many handicapped people are visiting K-Rock?
Not visiting, my dear. Working.
What?
200.
How did we allow that?
Pretty much. Doc.
Doc gets to park in a handicapped spot?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Of course.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
he can't
walk.
I didn't know. I haven't seen Doc in years.
Doc has a robot for the bottom half of his body. I don't know if you know that.
Is he in a wheelchair or can he actually walk?
No, it's a robot. He's got wheels.
Oh, but, yeah. I see. It's just weird. I mean.
Yeah, they did. They added some, and I don't know
how
they based that. You know,
we lost a spot that's not to handicap. Just we lost it because one of the K-Rock employees didn't move the car when we were repaving it.
I noticed
I saw
that.
So.
Is that what that is?
What?
Yeah.
So there's one spot that's coned off because it wasn't able to be repaved.
And
so it's
they're going
to
repave it this weekend, and we'll get that spot back. But it was
funny
pulling into the parking lot last Saturday night to do my shift and see this brand new black pavement and then one
ghetto spot.
One VW Beetle just on gray pavement.
Nice.
Well, this is a Bean speaking, and I don't visit the K-Rock building very often. I haven't been here since Christmas. So, you know, I noticed the new stuff when I show up. I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out why there were so many. I mean, I can't imagine we ever use that many spaces for the handicap.
They're almost always open.
Yeah.
There's almost no one ever there, so... What we should do is we should start getting the keys to people's cars and move them there and then call the police.
By the way, we are going to take your calls for Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew. You call, get on the air, 1-800-520-1067, and you get a prize. By the way, I forgot to tell you guys this. Speaking of the handicap spot, I'm a firm believer in not parking in the handicap spot if you're not handicapped.
Yeah.
Except, a firm believer in that.
But... except when...
Why, do you have an exception?
No, I'm just saying, where's this going?
I'll tell you where this is going. I'm driving driving to the post office the other day, and it's a post office that I don't ordinarily go to because I had some stuff to mail. You know, sometimes I'll just stop in a post office I've never been before just to see what it's
just
like,
for
right?
fun?
Yeah, just because I haven't been there
You're
before.
You're still talking about post offices. Move
well,
on.
I'm trying to see how to explain this. So I'm driving up this street, and it's one of those businesses on a street that has the parking that is diagonal, kind of.
Mm-hmm,
you know, it's not quite even. and there was only one spot anywhere near this post office. And I turn into that spot, and I didn't even realize it was a handicapped spot because I couldn't see the angle that I was turning into it. I couldn't see the little sign right there.
Because they don't paint it on the asphalt and then put signs up and then neon.
They just had a sign. That's all they have is a sign. So I literally was going to drop something into the mailbox, the truth is. I didn't even turn my engine off. Okay.
Okay.
So I pulled into that spot, and I got out of my car, and I was out of my car, no joke, less than 15 seconds before I was back in the car to leave, because I literally was walking to the post office to put something in the mailbox. And in that 15 seconds, somebody slowed down as they were driving by the post office and screamed at the top of their lungs, "You don't look handicapped to me!" And I was thinking, wow, did I just get busted? That's the first time I knew it was a handicap spot is when that guy screamed at me. I thought, hey, I'll just pull into this spot, leave my car running, run over to the post office box.
But wait a minute.
Get back in the car.
He wasn't in the parking lot?
No.
He was on the street.
He was driving by on the street, rolled
that
out his window.
That guy's paying attention.
No kidding. I'm driving the car and parking in the spot and didn't know it was a handicap spot. And this guy busted me driving by.
I didn't want to tell anybody this because I thought I might get in trouble with K-Rock. But about a week ago, a monster truck pulls into K-Rock and parks in the handicap spot right in front.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaving work, and this kid gets out, maybe 22, and he's perfectly healthy, gets out of the driver's seat and walks out. I was like, hey, dude, you don't look very handicapped to me. And he gives me a look, just the dirtiest look. And Charles is walking with me, the security guard. We walk around to the other side, and he goes to the passenger side and pulls out what was most likely his mother, who has a shattered body and kind of Tiny Tim, little walkers connected to her hands.
Well, I understand that you can't guess why somebody is able to park in a handicap spot.
No,
because
if you
there
have
are,
a heart defect,
exactly.
You
there
can't
are,
tell.
There are a lot of people who have things going on, or they've got the bad, swelling in their legs or something like that that maybe you can't see just by looking at them.
Right, so you're saying I could park in handicap places and
you
just say I have
need
a heart defect?
The placard.
No, you just get one shoe real big and compare to your other shoe and tell people you have gout. It works.
Oh, okay. There you go.
All right. I'll do that.
Well,
that's good.
It was funny that I got busted, though. And it is also funny that even though the car was still running and I was out of the car for less than 10 seconds, that had a police officer driven by instead of that guy, I probably could have gotten a ticket for like $300. Isn't that the biggest ticket you can get? Is a handicap spot?
I don't know. I don't know how much it is, but yeah, you're lucky a meter maid wasn't there. Those people, you can't get past them.
No. No kidding. Look what
they
did to you, man. You weren't even there.
Right. All right. It's time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
I don't rate the paperwork today, but are we still doing Spring Break at Magic Mountain?
We are. Pair of tickets to join K-Rock at Six Flags Magic Mountain for Spring Break on Saturday, April 11th. All right. Let's begin with Corn Dog. Calling from Brea. Hey, Corn Dog.
Yeah, yeah. What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Yeah, what it do, baby boo?
What it do?
All right, check it out, guys. All right. I know President Obama's, doing all this whole, revolutionizing everything.
Right.
Changing all these laws and stuff. And I heard from a good source that he listens to you guys' show, right?
That is correct.
So check it out. So, Mr. Obama, if you're listening, check it. I think we need a new law against fat chicks showing off their guts.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Corn Dog. I am a very strong believer in this dream. And you know what? Let me tell you about this dream I had.
Could we not? Do we have that option to say no?
No, but you're going to hear it. Check it out, dude. All right. I had a dream.
Okay. We're moving on. Thank you.
Hey, Corndog, there's a slot open tonight if you'd like to come by the Gibson.
He is doing his best material, that's for sure.
Let's go to Mo and Hawthorne. Good morning, Mo.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi, Mo.
All right. What is with this Batman at number 18 crap?
That's what we're talking about.
We're talking about that on the list of Entertainment Weekly's top heroes, and Batman was only 18.
That's unheard of.
Right.
Absolutely unheard of.
Right.
But I heard that, and I had to call you guys, because it was a relatively dark day, because I just found out in DC Comics they killed Batman.
Well, they've killed everybody in comic books. I mean, Superman's been killed. I mean, everybody's been killed.
I know, but the thing is like, you know, Superman dies. They make this whole big thing about it. Batman dies. It's like they put him in 18th place. That just happened like a month ago, and they never did anything about it. But, no, I just thought Ralph might want to hear about that, because I don't think he'll that too well.
I'm sure he knows.
Sure.
He's pretty geeky when it comes to sci-fi stuff.
Say hi to Corndog for us, Mo.
All right. We don't have very good storytellers on the phones today.
Not so far.
Let's go to Mark in Mission Viejo. Good morning, Mark.
Morning. What it do, baby boo? What it do, nephew?
What's going on? Mark?
It was the Fridays last night in Mission Viejo, and I saw Magic Johnson.
No, no kidding.
Okay.
Of all people, yeah. He was the coolest guy in the world. We waited till his dinner was over because we didn't want to bug him, you know? And he was like, yeah, thanks for doing it. And he was with his wife, I think. And it was really cool. I just wanted to say, thanks.
I saw him. I went to the. There was a Prince show a week ago at the Nokia Theater, and he showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, when that guy walks in to a room, he just is so the man.
Yeah.
Just everybody parts, and everybody's like turning and looking and snapping photos. And unlike any other celebrity, you know, that shows up, some people go, hey, that's so and so, whatever. Magic Johnson just rules the planet.
Yeah.
Wasn't there talk, Lisa, sometime back of him maybe wanting to run for mayor or something?
Yeah, whatever
happened with that?
I don't know.
I wonder if he was serious about it or if it was just, you know, people around him saying it would be cool.
I think probably what happened was after his TV show.
No, this was fairly recently. This was many, many years past the TV show.
They told him, you're going to need to go back and learn the language.
They probably showed him what was going on in L.A., and he said, yeah.
No one can fix that.
What, are you kidding me?
People would be shocked. People who wonder what Magic Johnson is up to now, right now, would be shocked at his portfolio.
What an amazing businessman he is. Yeah.
The stuff he owns and the stuff he does, it's incredible. I mean, he would be, you know, he'd be an amazing person if he'd never played basketball just with the stuff he's done.
Yeah.
I'd vote for him, I'll tell you that.
All right, one more real quick. Let's go to Cruz in Pomona. Good morning, Cruz.
What he do, nephew?
What he do?
Yeah, I was checking out the Dodger Angel game last night. What do you guys think? Dodgers look pretty solid. Manny looked pretty awesome.
Is baseball back? Is that what you're saying?
Sunday night, dude. First game.
Hey, man. I'm trying to get some tickets to go to opening day. It's going to be great. They're playing the Giants. I'm looking forward to watching the Dodgers this year.
I am excited about baseball as well. I'm excited for it to count because, you know, spring training has been especially long this year because of the World Baseball Classic.
Right.
And they're just not playing many of the guys. There's so many guys playing you've never heard of before.
They're just sitting out?
Well, yeah,
the good guys?
The guys that they know that are going to be on the team, why burn them out by playing them for a month before the long, long season begins? So right now they're trying to cut all the rosters down to 25 guys. So you're seeing dudes who are out there basically, all right, you've got one game to prove we should keep you on the squad, you know?
And the games are like 25 to 19.
Yeah. It's kind of BS, but it is very exciting. And the first game is the Phillies on Sunday night. That's the beginning of the new Major League Baseball season.
Well, I've done my best to keep baseball talk off the air in the off season.
But it's time.
I've really fought it, but it looks like maybe it's time.
It's here.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amin show, shall we?
All right.
Okay.
Speaking of sports, we have former sportscaster Matt Money Smith in the studio. Friday the 3rd of April, I guess. We also are going to talk to Sean William Scott. He's got some bizarre charity event going on in Scotland where he's got a, I don't know, climb over some kind of fence and then tunnel through underneath the ocean, and then he's got to meet a submarine, and he's got to fly to the moon. Some kind of just ridiculous charity event he's
doing. I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
How can you say she's not pretty? Look at her.
Let me see.
Look
here.
At Alita Loresca. Turning the TV off.
What?
Did you see how gorgeous she is today?
I tried to turn it up. I didn't. Paul Walker's on the program today. The Fast and the Furious, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Which
one is he? Is he fast or furious?
He's furious.
He's furious. Okay.
We have the Queen on the program today.
Yes!
That's a get. That is a get right there. Got the movie beat because it's Friday. We have the YouTube grand prize winner.
That is sending somebody to see you two in France, Germany, Holland, and Dublin,
nice.
Ireland. That's just crazy. And Kevin and Bean, April Foolishness, your final chance at tickets as it is tonight. Corn dog just added. So we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to Ralph Destroy a Coldplay song. 551.
Ralph, are you so bummed out we're giving away a trip to Ireland today?
Who are you?
Sorry.
Who is this dude?
DJ Spina Bifida.
DJ Spina Bifida!
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, what's up, Bean Baxter?
Not too much. Got the April Foolishness tonight, don't you know?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. You still... April Fool's is over, kids. Let it out of the bag. Not happening.
Big night of comedy.
Tired
by the way,
of raking people over the coals. You all get your money back. Don't worry about it.
We ought to mention for folks who are lucky enough to have tickets for that show that we are going to be doing Cinco de la Tarde live from out in front of the Gibson Amphitheater. Apparently, for some reason, the doors are opening like 9 hours before the show starts.
No, the gates are opening 9 hours
yeah,
beforehand.
It's very confusing.
You get to the campus of Gibson Amphitheater, but to get actually into the building itself, the doors won't be open until around 7-ish.
Right, but who needs to get to an event that starts at 8 at 4:30 is my question.
Well, apparently just us.
We're doing our show from 5 to 6, and right. Then we're having a happy hour
but
before the doors open. The bars will be open in front of the Gibson Amphitheater.
It's a night out. It's not a life choice.
Look, I understand you're not someone who enjoys fun things.
Right.
But for some people who want to make sort of a party out of the day slash evening, this is an opportunity to come hang out with some K-Rock folks
well,
and have a good time.
I don't get it. But if you do have tickets, you can watch the Cinco de la Tarde show because nothing's more exciting than watching radio. And then there's a happy hour before the doors open. And then there's the big all-star night
of comedy. You sure know how to sell it. You sure know how to make it sound like just a fun time for all.
I was going to go, but
and
I don't
radio,
think so
watch that stupid. Then it's bars and just talking. It's dumb.
And I've never heard anyone say happy hour with more disgust.
Lame-ass show happens or whatever.
Nothing happy about it, I'll tell you that. So, anyway, we'll see you out there tonight, I guess.
Wow.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Mario Lopez.
Oh.
Mario Lopez is like one of your heroes, right, Psycho Mike? You love him. You love him.
Yeah, I mean, I love Slater.
A.C. Slater from Saved by the Bell.
I think I love Slater more than I love Mario.
But he's constantly working out, and he's super vain, and he's, you know, he's much like you. He's swarthy.
Yeah. Vaguely foreign.
Vaguely foreign, sort of an olive complexion and the dark hair and sort of, you know.
Now that you say it, yes, I love
isn't,
him.
Stuck on himself.
Is it nearly as good looking as he thinks he is?
Exactly. He's in the news. New York Daily News asked him, what does he credit his amazing body to?
Okay.
He says, a healthy diet, lots of exercise, but most importantly, he moisturizes with a body sculpting gel.
The hell is that?
I have no idea. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because Mike might know what a body sculpting gel is.
Mike knows and uses it. I can tell by the look on his face.
He said it's made by a brand called Lab Series, and he slathers it on his body, and it helps him with his six-pack.
That guy. What would he need him for?
You know what body sculpting gel is, Psycho Mike?
No, but...
Lisa Mame.
Nice transition, by the way. Seamless. Had no idea there was you going into jeans.
No, but...
Lisa Mame.
No, I don't. I'm Psycho Mike. Lisa Mame. Well, we'll have to find out what that is. Because if there's a gel you can slather on that gives you a six-pack...
Yeah, I'm sure that works.
I'm all in.
That's just dumb. Why would you... Even if somebody asked what you do to keep your skin looking good, why would you get into that conversation and admit
Mario
something like that?
Lopez loves talking about Mario
Aren't
Lopez
there some
more
things
than anything
that are
else.
Better just left private.
No.
But even if that gel works, I wouldn't tell anyone about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Lindsay Lohan! It's in the news. Friends are saying to the New York Daily News that they're afraid Lindsay's headed for a meltdown. Lindsay now consists on... just 3 or 4 Red Bulls a day, friends claim.
Wow.
She's not eating anything, and her weight's at an all-time low.
Lindsay Lohan.
Even from when she was born?
Yes.
Wow, she's down under 10 pounds.
Everyone is frightened for her health.
I am.
According
I
to
am.
Friends.
Seriously.
She's constantly fighting with her girlfriend, Samantha Ronson, and she is in a very fragile emotional state, say friends.
But she's going into porn, and when she does that, she needs to put on a few pounds.
No, she doesn't.
Right? Oh.
Mm-mm.
My enjoyment of that porn.
Temporarily, she'll have a couple pounds.
Oh, you know what I'm
not please that kind of pounds.
Please don't make the face. Please don't use the thumb. My enjoyment of that porn, when she finally gets around to making it, maybe this weekend, is going to be tempered if she looks like stoned and sad.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the best kind of porn.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
I want her to be healthy and
no,
into it.
No, I want her to be like barely conscious and sort of sad and pathetic.
I want to see the actual gun to her head. I
want to oh, now you've on. Just oh, gone right, and ruined good. It for me. The lap dance is so much
better when the stripper is crying. Yeah, I don't think I...
Nice production value on that song, by the way. A friend of Lindsay says, any friend who's speaking on Lindsay's behalf about personal issues isn't a friend.
Well, that's what we've long thought.
Yeah, but how else are we going to find out what's going on with Lindsay Lohan?
It's always a friend, and they tell everything that friends shouldn't tell.
I'm a little bit surprised that she hasn't gotten an Octomom deal where she cashes in, because everybody has so many questions for Lindsay now. She could make $100,000 for a Dr. Phil interview at this point if she wanted to. That gets her out of some money problems for a couple of weeks.
I think I'm so fat.
Still holding on to the belief that she has dignity.
Ah.
Well, let that go.
Speaking of the Lohan clan, Dina is still a shoo-in for Mother of the Year, I think. This weekend, she was trying to get into a nightclub in Hollywood with her daughters, Lindsay and Allie. Lindsay, of course, is old enough to get into the club, but security refused to let 15-year-old Allie in with Lindsay and her mom.
How dare they? She's a celebrity.
That was Dina's position, Kevin. There was a major argument that was had at the front door. Dina literally asked, and I'm not kidding, don't you know who I am?
Are you kidding?
And Lindsay told the security guy he was making a huge mistake.
Of course,
they're spectacular.
What a family.
And if you're Lindsay's mom and you see what she's going through, I don't know, don't you try to steer her away from bars and nightclubs? Don't you say, maybe, Lindsay, honey, this isn't a good place for you right now?
Lindsay has no interest in the well-being of her children. Adina. She just wants what Dina wants.
She's going to nightclubs with them.
She wants to be in
trying
nightclub.
To she get wants, her 15-year-old into a nightclub.
She just wants the photos taken. That's all.
It's unbelievable.
She should be taken out with a dart of some kind.
Blow dart?
Dina, yeah. Heidi and Spencer in the news.
Yeah.
Heidi tells Us Weekly magazine she has a treat in store for all you music lovers. She's hard at work on her second album.
Because the first was so great?
Because now we need more.
I don't think the first one ever came out.
No, I didn't.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah, I only remember one song and a video.
What happened there?
I don't know. I don't know. I think
Spencer.
She realized it sucked.
Spencer, what happened there?
It's only limited release in Europe.
Okay.
Sick.
Yeah. The best news about the second album, it's going to include a track or two where she performs with her better half, Spencer Pratt.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Awesome. Heidi gushes to Us Weekly magazine. Spencer has mad skills.
Sure
yes,
he does.
Not only can he sing, but he raps as well.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
So Thank you, God.
Please enjoy. I hope that one gets released. And lastly, the Today Show over there on NBC. They have announced their summer concert series. You know, they do a big series of concerts throughout the summer. They bring bands by to perform outside Rockefeller Center there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they've announced that the very first show this summer will kick off on May 1st. No doubt we'll be performing outside the Today Show studios.
I was not interested until you said those words.
That's why I saved the best for last.
No doubt. How about that?
Keep you in.
That's the show that Al Roker is on, Kevin. You love him.
I do love him. I miss him.
The rest of the lineup, Jonas Brothers, Taylor Swift, Flo-Rida.
Flo-Rida?
Flo-Rida.
Flo-Rida.
You know, that's he took that from Florida, right?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He took that from Florida.
If you put those two names together,
Flo-Rida,
it says Florida.
Wow. Creative.
Yes. Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Dave Matthews Band, Kings of Leon, All American Rejects, and Black Eyed Peas.
Wow, I'm shocked that the Kings of Leon are
Me
doing
too.
It.
It's a pretty strong lineup for their summer concerts. So you can watch today and see music.
Imagine that.
The miracles of modern technology.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. This is the biggest day of birthdays all year long.
Good, because yesterday was rough.
By the way, I'm going to need some Schmeckfest audio. If
anyone
has that.
I don't have that anymore.
Audio.
Wish we had it. Dial that up for me.
Amanda Bynes is 23 years old today. Leona Lewis turns 24. Ooh. Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother is 27.
Oh, yeah.
Jenny Garth from Beverly Hills 90210 is 37. Sebastian Bach from Kiss Skid Row.
Yeah.
Is 41. Mike Ness from Social D turns 47 years old today. Eddie Murphy, comedian and actor, turns 48. David Hyde Pierce, who played Frasier's brother on Frasier, is 50. Alec Baldwin from 30 Rock turns 51. Mick Mars of Motley Crue is 53 years old today, and a vital and virile 53, too, Mick Mars, by
He looks
way.
About 100.
No. Wayne Newton turns 67 years old today. And the reason we bring up Schmeckfest is that singer, actor, legend Tony Orlando.
Good luck with this, Ralph.
Celebrates his 65th birthday today. And Tony Orlando is a close friend of Kevin and Bean's. He was there in the beginning with Kevin and Bean when they worked on a theme together for a holiday called Schmeckfest, which is very popular in the Midwest.
You could do this all day. He's not going to find it.
And
I got it.
Together they worked together, and they did a
this
theme.
Audio file is not currently available.
They did a theme for the holiday Schmeckfest. This is Kevin Bean, some random whores they used to bang, and Tony Orlando combining their talents to come up with a theme for a holiday called Schmeckfest, where people would drink beer, apparently.
Gather around, boys and girls, and listen.
You know that Schmeckfest is a special time each year. Kevin and Bean will be in Freeman, South Dakota, to meet those East German chicks and drink some beer. There'll be lots of screaming men and women and children. There will be sauerkraut and awkward, did we mention beer?
Whoa, baby!
Thank you, our special new friend, Tony Orlando.
No problem.
For helping K-Rock celebrate Schmeckfest this year.
Schmeckfest!
Very well, job done, baby.
Schmeckfest.
Why do you keep saying that was us?
Schmeckfest.
That was clearly Mark and Brian. You can hear it on the tape.
Well, it's bad enough to be, but it was, in fact, you. And Bean actually went to Fremont, North Dakota.
Yes, he did.
To broadcast from Schmeckfest.
Big live Kevin and Bean broadcast from Schmeckfest.
This is a guy who had to threaten his family and livestock to get him to come to the K-Rock studios. At one time, would go to North Dakota to do
a
show.
Because it's lame.
I love the Dakota.
Today, he would go to North Dakota.
I'd go right now. If we could find a more horrible state than North Dakota, he would go to that as well.
That's true.
But it's hard to find.
Yeah.
So there's your big Schmeckfest.
Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way so we don't have to hear that again for another year.
Oh, no, we will be featuring that all day long
on.
Here in the Kevin and
no
Bean.
No time.
How often do we get to celebrate Schmeckfest?
Not often enough.
Thank you, our new friend, Tony Orlando. It sounds like Special Olympics kids are singing along in the background.
Oh, don't say that. You see what they did to the president when he said that.
Come on.
The president can do it. I can do it, too. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Grand prize drawing. Someone's going to Europe, 4 different countries to see U2. We'll make that phone call in about an hour. And by the way, at noon today, how about Rock of the 90s here on the world-famous K-Rock, starting at noon, Rock of the 90s weekend. And not only are we going to be playing your favorite 90s songs, we're giving away tickets to see Nine Inch Nails, Jane's Addiction, No Doubt, Depeche Mode, The Offspring, U2, all the great shows coming up in 2009. That's all weekend long here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Time for a little email. I got this one from our own company, and I just thought it was funny, so I'd like to read it to you. This came to us from K-Rock.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Hate to be the bearer of bad news on the paychecks, but apparently they were lost by UPS. Super sorry. Hope to have them in the future.
In the future?
Our company wrote that to us.
And how about the, was it 2 days in a row that we had emails like that? The first day it said, sorry, the paychecks aren't going to be here. Then the next day it was, paychecks have been lost by UPS. And let me tell you something.
That's the way we roll.
I watch the news a lot.
Yes.
That's really what happens when companies are going under.
The first thing is, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to make payroll this week. It's going to be fine, but it's going to be a few days late. Next time, it's going to be a few more days late.
Wow.
Next thing you know, we're out of business and they're turning off the transmitter.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not a good sign right there.
Here's an email asking for an update, and maybe I missed this. Hey, Kevin, Bean, Ralph, and Lisa, yum, he writes. Whatever happened to part 2 of Homosexual Psycho Mike's quest for a massage, quote unquote? I've been waiting for 2 weeks now for an update. I've gotten about 30 massages to help pass the time. Please keep us in the loop. By the way, P.S. Bean, get a haircut in your own city, you damn freak. David, what's going on with that, Mike? Did you give up on the quest for the perfect quote-unquote massage?
For those that didn't hear it, he had tried 4 different times going to massage places, each one more
seedy
than the next, and couldn't make it happen. And we took calls from people with, you know, ideas on how to do it.
Yeah.
Did you?
I haven't given up on my quest. I actually got a lot of helpful hints from listeners. And I'm willing and ready as soon as the paychecks get here.
Yeah,
and I have
a little
bit of money.
That's what it is.
I'll take care of it.
Yeah, there is that.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I was listening to the podcast today, and you were talking about guys and the stories they made up in order to get girls. One night I was hanging out with some friends, and I found myself in the VIP room at the Roosevelt. Not looking like the other typical Hollywood douchebags, I had a few females come up to me to see if I was anyone of importance. How else could someone like me get in there, I'm sure they were thinking. So I told them that I was the son of the Prime Minister of Canada.
Nice.
Being Canadian, I had plenty of facts facts to back it up. Soon I had hordes of females asking me all sorts of questions about the Canadian monarchy. Okay, so maybe I embellished our government a little bit to sound like a monarchy. And when I was going to inherit the throne.
Oh, no, and they believed it.
These girls believed that one day he was going to be the king of Canada.
Sweet.
Seriously, it's great being foreign in a country where the bimbos have no clue about anything to do with your country. They were asking, do you live in an igloo? Yes, I do. How do you get to the store? Well, I use Iditarod dogs. It went on and on. Want to come up to my room to see the pictures of my 12 puppies?
Oh, my God.
That's fantastic. I want to keep that in mind. Prime Minister's son from Canada. I like it.
Kathy Rice, dear Kevin and Bean, I was listening to your show a couple of weeks ago, and you did the funniest thing I've ever heard. You interviewed the cat that was found inside a bong. My husband and I were laughing so hard. Is there a place on your website or online that would have a recording so I could hear it again? Thanks, Kathy. We actually do put a lot of that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean page, you go to Sounds. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of files. I'm not sure that one's up, but we'll put it up if it's not.
Well, I'll tell you that if you don't find that individual file, it will definitely be in the podcast for whatever day you listen to it.
Yes.
You'll be able to hear it. All right, I need a ruling on this. Is this guy, Adam, correct when he complains about this that he heard me say on the air? Bean, you of all people should understand where I'm coming from. When someone has a nickname, you can't use his real name with his nickname. For instance, you have to stop calling Matt Smith Matt Money Smith. It's either Matt or Money, but you must stop with the Matt Money Smith. Either he has a nickname or he doesn't. Does anyone say, hey, Gene Bean Baxter? No, it's just Bean. What do you guys think?
Well, but Bean is the name you go by.
Yeah. Well, Money is the name that he goes by.
No, it isn't. Money is the name that he went by when he was on our show, but he doesn't anymore, does he?
Right, yeah. I that ruling's BS. I think that, you know, plenty of people use their full name and their nickname.
Like, and when you read them, like they often put their name and then the quotes with the nickname.
Who uses all of them, Mike? Give us an example while you're mouthing off.
Well, I would say drag racer Don Big Daddy Garlitz.
I mean, yesterday in the celebrity
birthdays,
Ralph was doing Horshack, and he gave both names, Ron Palicki or whatever his name is, remember, with Horshack in the middle.
Well, that's because no one knows who he is.
And a lot of times you hear Irvin Magic Johnson.
True. Yeah, that's true.
So you guys are calling BS on Adam then.
Yeah.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson's a perfect example. Yeah. So, all right. So I'm not going to feel bad about
Matt
Money
that.
Smith.
Nope.
All right, here's I don't have time to read the whole email, but Caitlin apparently has had an assful of the Coldplay. She's done with the Coldplay, and she sent along, I'm telling you, a 20-page... He just turned off Alita.
A 20-page...
He turned off Alita Loreska. We're watching her on the TV.
She sent along a 20-page...
I can't do this job unless I can look at Alita. Thank you. She sent along a 20-page note of things that she would rather do rather than have to hear another Coldplay song.
Wow.
And it's so fantastic. It's everything from walk around for a week with a pebble in my shoe, go to school for an extra 5 years, change my name to Mildred, squeeze lemon juice in a paper cut, act in a Saw movie, clean out my grandmother's refrigerator, lose my iPod, run a three-legged race with Amy Winehouse, babysit for the Octomom. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Rather than what?
Then listen to Coldplay one more time.
Wow.
I would rather eat Mexican food in Utah. I would rather be Ryan Seacrest's personal assistant. I'd rather have inside-out eyelids. I'd rather sit in a room full of mosquitoes.
You put a lot of work into this.
Yeah. I'd rather give my uncle a pedicure than listen to Coldplay one more time.
All right, we got to coming up then.
Thanks. I think we do have to play some Coldplay next. And finally, before we break and talk to Her Majesty the Queen of England moments from now, apparently, Mike, we've been getting a bunch of contact from our friend Doto, KROQ Lister Doto, the international man of mystery. I guess he's been writing to us from Taiwan or something lately.
It sure seems like it. You never know with Doto. He could be anywhere. This one came completely unprompted last Monday to Bean.
Mike is going to read these in his Doto voice.
Oh, good.
Because it's impossible to read Doto's writing like normal.
And I have to read it with the appropriate inflection to the pronunciation and the punctuation and everything. It's a mess. Bean, few weeks ago, was girlfriend's condo. Guess what movie we saw, Steven Seagal? Space. Hard to Kill. I'm sure you know my favorite, Doe. So that came out of nowhere.
That is his favorite movie, Steven Seagal. And
but
Hard to Kill.
This is what's weird about Doe. And I know we talked to him on the show every couple of months or so. What makes him think, oh, I'm watching a Steven Seagal movie. I need to email Bean and let him know.
That's a good question.
Maybe it's that we've asked him in the past what his favorite movie is. We've talked about it. Maybe.
Yeah.
He doesn't have friends, Bean, for God's sake.
So then the second email came. Bean, I met same girl this week, Taiwan. Watch Steven Seagal, Hard to Kill. Love watching Seagal kick some real ass, man. I'm sure you know I love Seagal. Doe.
Yeah.
So Bean replies, oh, Doe, are you in Taiwan now? I met same girl. I met same girl week Taiwan. We watched Steven Seagal Hard to Kill. Really love Cigar Man.
This is our favorite thing is that we try to communicate with him, and Bean has learned to just ask a single pointed question because you can't get
that
too complex.
That doesn't even work, though.
And
no.
It's like he's
on stutter.
There's no reference to
right.
it.
Bean writes, Doto, are you in Taiwan now? Yes, for a few days. Bean, if you're no longer working for K-Rock, I'm sure we could still be friends.
Wow, does he know something we don't?
Let's meet for lunch. Hope durable, though.
Hope is durable.
Yeah. What does hope durable mean?
I don't know. I don't know where that came from.
He says it all the time. I'm like, it's his sign-off.
I know. That's his secret out.
Doto, can we call you? We have some time today. We would love to catch up with you. You were so great last time. We loved talking to you. That's what Bean
now he's trying to butter him up.
But that's pretty to the point,
of
right?
Course.
Is it possible to misinterpret that?
Bean, I'm watching Steven Seagal Hard to Kill. I'm sure you know my favorite show. If you or Kevin decided to get me something in future, would love Steven Seagal sweatshirt. I'm Heilong Bay Boat.
What?
What
was that last line?
What was the last line? I don't even understand that.
I'm Heilong Bay Boat.
What does that mean?
Maybe he's on a boat in Heilong Bay.
If we decide to get him anything in the future.
Isn't that wild?
If you're thinking of getting me a gift, I'd like a Steven Seagal sweatshirt.
As if that item exists.
As if we were thinking of getting him something.
If you, Kevin, decided get me something future, I would love Steven Seagal sweatshirt. I'm Heilong Bay Boat.
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. The Queen of England can suck my ass.
Oh!
First of all.
Kevin!
She can.
6:37 on the
right
Kevin
here.
And Bean Show. Sean William Scott, Paul Walker, and YouTube grand prize drawing all coming up. Plus, it's Friday. That means the movie beat. Kevin has an unnatural hate for the Queen. I don't know why. Our country won, so
right.
We're not under her rule anymore.
No, I know. I don't think we are.
Why do you care that they have the Queen?
Because I think like people who are racist that think they're better because their skin color or whatever, mm-hmm. I think that is the highest level of stupidity.
Okay.
Same thing with people who think that because she's the queen, Charles should be the king. That whole royal blood thing, to me, is insultingly stupid. Just how does anyone still believe
that? I agree. I will agree with you that I think a democratic system is better than a monarchy. I will agree with you. I'd rather have the people choose.
She has royal blood.
But in England, the people do choose the government, the people who make the decisions. They do elect a prime minister, for instance, but the queen serves a different role.
Right.
A role that the British people want.
She's just the mascot, Kevin.
Right.
That's all she is.
And who's going to be the next mascot?
Charles.
Stupid.
And you know when they say they have royal blood, it doesn't mean their blood is really special.
Yes, it does.
It just means that they're connected via...
they have a line of succession.
They have a familial relationship.
Right,
that's
I
all.
Know.
It's like if you take their blood out and you put it in a dish, it dances or does something magical,
no,
you know.
No, but I think it is the height of stupidity to think just because he came from her family, he should be the king. That's just... I can't
so
even get my head around that.
So how do you think they should... They should elect a king as well?
Yeah, well, however.
There's a royal idol, and you should go out and you should
however,
be...
however, then what difference does it make whether it's family or voting?
Any other way than this.
Any other way
yes,
but this.
I find this insultingly stupid. Because just because he came from her family, okay, now he must be special.
But you know how monarchies work, right? You know the whole concept of monarchies that's been going on for thousands of years?
We're so much more important than everyone else.
They don't say that, though.
They don't say that at all. They just say we're related. That's all.
They were at the G20 summit.
Hold on. Before you say that, let me just say, the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, who's been the monarch for over 50 years in Britain, it's her job. She has been raised since she was a little girl to lead England and to learn the things that you're supposed to do in that position. She is the person that is best suited to be the Queen of England because she's trained for it her whole life.
In some ways, it's a better way to hold a public position than people who have no idea what government is about.
So when Charles takes over and F's everything up, you guys are going to keep saying the same thing?
He can't really F everything up. He's not the government.
He's just the king.
So they're at the G20 summit.
Yes.
And Michelle Obama and Barack Obama go in to meet her.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a courtesy visit. Heads of state get together when they're in each other's country.
Mrs. Obama clearly made an impression with the 82-year-old monarch, so much that the smiling queen strayed slightly from protocol. Very important, this protocol.
Yeah.
How you meet the queen, what you say, you have to kneel and lick her shoes.
You don't do any
you
of
do.
That.
You have to lick,
you
her,
don't
shoes.
Lick her shoes. And it's just tradition. There are traditions that have been in place for hundreds of years.
So she strayed slightly from protocol and briefly wrapped her arm around the first lady in a rare public show of affection. What is she, a robot?
No, it's just
it was a scandal.
It's just,
oh, Michelle Obama touched her shoulder. Did you see that? You don't do that with the queen.
It's just that it's not customary that you bum rush an 82-year-old woman. That's all.
They're just traditions that are usually upheld.
I would grab her ass in a second. I would just
By the way, you like that? Just as many traditions when you go to the White House to meet the president. There are rooms that you go in. There are places that you stand.
There's ways you have to address him. You have to wait to be addressed by him.
It's as bad as the queen. The protocol is as bad as the queen.
They're just different, but they're not protocols. Protocols are in place.
I mean, when George Bush was president, for instance, you had to wear a suit and tie to get into the Oval Office.
There are just rules that you have
about visiting. That's all.
They're different rules, but they all have rules.
And you know what she gave them for a gift before they left? A silver framed photo of her and her husband.
That is the traditional gift that she gives visiting heads of state.
Hey, here's a picture of me. You'll like this. Hey, this is me. In that picture, that's me.
Well, they get to put them and say, this is the day we met the queen.
Wow, how great is that?
Queen of England.
What an a-hole she is.
Why do you hate her? She has done nothing
wrong. She's giving pictures of herself as gifts. How does that qualify as a gift?
I would love to have a picture
of
the queen.
If I gave you guys an autographed photo of myself for Christmas, you'd go, what kind of self-centered a-hole is this?
For Christmas, you gave us pictures of the Armenian comedian.
Yeah. That's funny.
Not even. I wish you'd give me a picture of you.
Well, look, you can hate all you want, Kevin, but I'm happy to tell you that producer Alex has lined up the queen herself. We are going to call. I guess we're going to get Her Majesty on the phone here in a moment and actually talk to her.
Now I'm concerned. I'm afraid to talk to the Queen because with the blonde one over there,
right.
I'm afraid we're going to start an international incident. We don't need any more of those.
No, we don't.
Quite frankly. Well, we're still recuperating from the whole France thing.
I don't know where the blonde one ran off to. It doesn't make any sense that he wouldn't be here when getting ready to talk to the Queen.
Way to ruin Theater of the Mind, by the way. Way to pull back the curtain.
I'm just saying, strangely, every time the Queen's on the phone, Kevin's not in the room.
We're talking to the real Queen, Bean. Shut up.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a long time. Her Royal Majesty, Queen Elizabeth, on the phone with us right now on the world famous K-Rock.
Hello!
Good morning, Your Majesty.
Why is Bean such an asshole?
Oh, come on.
Well, even across the pond, he has that reputation, does he?
Michelle Obama touched me. What a scandal.
Yes, I saw in the news you kind of put your arm around the small of her back, and she responded, and it was a bit of an uproar because you're not known to be a very touchy-feely person.
We don't like people touching us.
And that's the royal we, I guess.
Yes, we do not allow that.
Why is that? Why are you so against physical contact?
Because my blood is royal, and that makes me better than everyone.
What does that have to do with the physical contact,
though? Do not touch me. I am not of this world.
Okay. You're an alien, Your Majesty?
I'm an alien.
You're an alien. Wow, this is quite the scoop.
I didn't know that.
What planet do you come from, Your Majesty?
I let that out of the... I shouldn't have said anything about that, probably.
Probably not.
I have not thought that one through.
Yeah.
Now, the president showed up bearing gifts. He brought you an autographed songbook from the great American songwriter Richard Rodgers. He brought you an iPod full of show... I'm sorry, what, Your Majesty?
Gay!
He brought you an iPod full of show tunes and pictures and videos of your visit to America. Did you enjoy the gift?
I did. I like the iPod because I'm very tech-savvy, don't you know?
Don't you know?
I'd like to withdraw, don't you know, too, please.
I had no idea you were from Wisconsin, Your Majesty.
I have very many songs that I like, including this one.
Help me, only.
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Oh, come on, Your Majesty. You can't use that kind of language.
We've got rules. We've got rules here in the U.S.
There are protocols here on the air that you cannot use that language.
Now, Your Majesty, my radio partner, Kevin, he was a little bit confused as to why you handed out a silver frame with a photo of you and your husband to the Obamas. Did you feel that was an appropriate gift?
We have found that everyone wants pictures of us.
Okay, so...
So that's the best gift I could give, a picture of royalty.
I see.
Let me look at my iPod some more here. I've got some movies as well.
Oh, what do you have
on
there?
What they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
You're watching Pulp Fiction?
Quarter pounder with cheese. Oh, man, they got the metric system. They wouldn't know what the quarter pounder is.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction there, Your Majesty. We got it. It's Pulp Fiction.
We can hear that you're watching Pulp Fiction on your iPod.
How long is the Pulp Fiction clip, Your Majesty?
Had you guys not interrupted, you would have heard that they were calling the quarter pounder the Royale with cheese.
Ah. And then what would have happened if we had heard that?
Then I would have said something funny about liking it.
I see.
Well, you are the Royale with cheese, come to think of it.
Sorry, Your Majesty, we didn't know you had a whole iPod chunk prepared. How does it feel to have someone step all over your jokes, Your Majesty?
It's not very much fun, I have to be honest.
Yeah, right.
You put a lot of work into crafting that comedy and then we just slaughter it, right?
We do not like that. I also have movies. movies that haven't come out yet. I have The Fast and the Furious.
Which is really?
Really good. I have the new Star Trek movie.
Great. Wow.
A bunch of Academy Award winners. This probably is my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, Eric. Yeah. Man, it's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something.
The Queen, watch
you
cook up like a heat.
To double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past. So
yeah, we actually we got that clip now.
Home, dude, all right? So I'm going to go send you to go make a fake.
Is there a big
deal,
surprise
right?
ending to this clip, too, Your Majesty?
Man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid.
Some
you'll
reference
paid.
To royalty ready, that you got a joke
right?
for?
Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to feel all right?
You can't hear Your Majesty. The clip's too loud.
It's
going to be okay.
All right. Well, listen, Your Royal Highness.
I got to go later.
If this would end, we're about out of time. So you had a good time with the Obamas? You enjoyed meeting them the other day, did you?
I did not.
You did not have a good time with the president. Okay. That's too bad.
Those Royal Improv classes really paying off, Your Majesty.
Thank you, Ralph.
What's about being a cowboy? Or?
Jam on it. Yeah.
What's that? What
the
is
that
about? Riding horses? I don't get that.
That's noisy.
Huh. Hey. Ride a cowboy, save a horse. Yeehaw!
Coming up after 7, by the way, Ralph, I know the reason you came
Big
in
Rich
today.
Big and Rich are going to be on?
No.
Nope. Oh. Coming up after 7, the world's greatest title fight.
Oh,
trust me.
Oh, my God, that's right.
No one's going to enjoy this more than Lisa and I.
We have one pair of tickets left for Kevin and Bean's sold-out April Foolishness show tonight. It's an all-star night of comedy at the Gibson Amphitheater. And the way you're going to win is by playing the Kevin and Bean title fight. Ralph says that because usually he and Lisa are the ones who have to give the clues, and then you identify the movie.
Right. The game is we will take a series of titles. Usually it's song titles or something like that. And then Lisa and I have to describe those titles without using any of the words in the title itself, giving clues to our listeners. And then there's 7 or 8 of them in a short period of time, and whoever gets the most correct wins. So this time we're going to have Kevin and Miss Cleo.
Fantastic.
Describing the clues for the listeners, and that's going to be amazing.
Because we're going to get them all in 30 seconds?
Yeah.
So right, if you want to compete, you can call right now 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the title fight game coming up after the news at 7.
This is quite the stretching day for Kevin. He's doing characters and comedy bits.
Wait,
and he's
what
doing,
characters? What are you talking
he's
about?
He's doing games and stuff. He is really starting to branch out. And
stretching my wings.
An all-around entertainer.
He's always had the talent. We just never asked for it before.
It's our fault. You spread those.
It's our fault for putting him in a box.
You stretch them.
6:56 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Friday. What the hell's going on?
The feds have been called in. Find out what's going on with this X-Men Origins Wolverine leak.
They're serious about this one,
aren't
they?
They are serious about this. Fox is pissed. The movie has been leaked onto the internet in what they're calling an incomplete and early version, but Fox is still peeved that somehow the entire full-length motion picture of Wolverine was leaked on the internet on Tuesday.
I don't blame them for being peeved.
No.
No. There's too much money in these films to have it go to the internet before it gets released.
They put so much into it. If anything, you know, cuts into what they get back.
Yeah, this piracy rough. Between this and pirate DVDs, I mean, it's just brutal to make these movies.
Get along.
It costs so much. Right. Kevin.
What are you talking about?
Your illegal downloading. So the FBI's been brought in. And they said they're going to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law when they find out the culprit who leaked this film. They think they have a lead already. Apparently, one of the versions that they found on the web bears a brief caption that reads, Rising Sun Pictures, which is the name of an Australian visual effects company that has worked on the film. So they think that may be the source for the internet leak.
Oh.
FBI is currently looking into it. Apparently, they're going to send Paul Walker undercover into the into the film company, and he's going to drive around in a golf cart to the studio or something. I may be confused. I'm not sure.
Yeah, a little.
I want to give you a heads up. We talk about this art gallery from time to time. It is called Gallery 1988. It's in Los Angeles on Melrose at Melrose and La Brea. And we talk about them usually when they do their cult film art festival, where they have artists come in and they do different kinds of art celebrating different cult movies.
Right.
This week they just opened a brand new exhibit called Idiot Box, which is all art based around our favorite cult TV shows.
Oh, cool.
There's some really cool lost pieces. There's Family Matters Urkel that makes him look like Nosferatu, like an evil vampire. You've got the A-Team represented there, Facts of Life. I mean, all your favorite sort of cult classic TV shows.
Who are the artists? Just anyone?
Well, local artists from all over Southern California who get together. They give them a theme, and then these guys go off and do their work, and then they come back and put it on display sale at the gallery. Once again, it's Gallery 1988. 7020 Melrose Avenue, right at Melrose and La Brea. If you're in the neighborhood, you should definitely check it out because I looked at the pieces and they are amazing.
A lot of Alf, by the way, in the show.
Very popular Alf this year, yeah.
That show was on 1 year, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's got a cult following. Huh. My favorite is a piece called A is for Android, and it's the entire A-team as robots.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I like that.
So you might want to check that out. Josh Hartnett, still in the hospital over at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. He had some gastrointestinal distress. This is what happens when I have that. And apparently he had a very interesting visitor this week. Sienna,
Dr. Phil?
Sienna Miller.
Oh. Ah!
Whoa,
wow. Really? Flew halfway around the world just to be by his side and make sure that he was okay.
I didn't know they were that close.
She flew for 24 hours in order to get to the hospital to make sure he was all right.
Wow.
I had no idea that they were an item, but apparently...
Wow.
He's not even married.
Josh and Sienna sitting in a tree.
Wow.
That's impressive. F-A-R-T-I-N-G. Stalker for Jamie Foxx. It's not even a good one. It's a dude. If you're a guy and you're going to get a stalker, wouldn't you like it to be a chick?
Well, you would think.
Even if she's not that hot, at least, you know.
Mm-hmm. At least it's a chick.
It's a chick.
Yeah.
He's currently in the city of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, filming a new movie called Law Abiding Citizen, where a man tried to force his way into Jamie's room at his hotel by telling Jamie Foxx he was Beyonce's producer.
Okay.
Jamie didn't buy it. Booted him out, and then Jamie's bodyguard spotted the guy hanging out in front of the hotel, called cops, and cops showed up, and turned out he was a loon who was obsessed with Jamie Foxx.
Hmm. An odd choice.
It is an odd choice to be obsessed with.
Yep.
Michelle Rodriguez!
Nobel.
Really? Michelle Rodriguez?
Nobel, oh, Nobel
I think
Prize?
So.
I think she gets a bell.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't hit it twice like that.
Okay.
I'd give her
a bell. She's attractive. I saw Fast and Furious last night.
You did?
Yes.
And?
She's in the movie, and she looks great.
She is.
She looks really sexy in the movie.
So she gets the bell?
I think she gets the bell. Right. She is talking about not only that film, but also the fact that she was going to release a clothing line. But now she says that's got to be put on hold because there's just not enough funding. She can't get the loan she needs to start her business. She can't get the operation off the ground, so she's bummed. She said she's going to have to just keep working on movies until she can find the financing to start this clothing line. So her line, which I believe is called Surly Clothes, we'll have to wait.
Driving after a few cocktails line.
I'm not sure. I think it might be Grumpy Wear. I'm not sure exactly the name of her clothing line. It might be Sour Clothing. Just Frown Wear.
I think we get the
She's just
the
not
gist.
Doesn't seem like a happy person.
She yeah. doesn't
the
at
what?
All.
What gist? Oh, I'm sorry.
Just.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Do I have time for it? I don't. I've got a two tickets email here to read, but I don't I'll find time later. But speaking of the two tickets to Paradise emails, I really appreciate the listeners who are taking the time to work on these and write them in. And there's a ton of good ones. We've got plenty still coming. But I got one the other day from a guy who, I'm not going to read the whole email, but he was talking about a band he knew in college. They called themselves the Foo Schnickets. Now, you just can't start making up words, by the way.
Because you need a rhyme or whatever.
And he worked Foo Schnickets into the punchline. But they were, they called themselves the Foo Schnickets.
Yeah.
It's not even real. It's not a word. Don't do it if you don't have an idea. That's all.
So you have standards for these emails?
I think Foo Schnickets.
That's what you're saying?
I want the Foo Schnickets to air their lies, ends his email. It's just, it's a convoluted,
Doesn't that indicate to you maybe it's time to just retire
the
two tickets to Paradise?
Saying, that's
like,
the
just not
I'm
do
just
it
trying
anymore?
To give people some guidelines when they're working on these.
That's just not good.
Today's celebrity birthdays, it's just a bunch of people. I don't have time. I just don't have time. I don't. It's like Wayne Newton, Mick Mars, Alec Baldwin, David Hyde Pierce, Eddie Murphy, Ness, Sebastian Bach, Jenny Garth, Kobe Smulders, Leona Lewis, Amanda Bynes, all celebrating their birthdays. Tony Orlando, singer of the Schmeckfest
theme. No time for that.
We don't have time for Schmeckfest?
We don't.
We might have time for Schmeckfest.
We got to get right to the title fight. People are on the line ready to play.
All right. We'll hold Schmeckfest for later on in the show, too. Tell you, later on the show is going to be great.
don't judge this hour.
Now might suck.
This part here is bad.
Right.
But later on, it's going to be awesome. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I think this is going to go well. I feel really good about this.
I'm very nervous about this happening at all. All right, it's Kevin and Bean on the world-famous K-Rock. By the way, tonight, we're going to be at the Gibson Amphitheater. We're going to be broadcasting live for Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde between 5 and 6, like usual, but we're doing it live. So if you are lucky enough to have tickets for April Foolishness, you can come on down and join us, be part of the radio show. And then I guess, what's the deal, guys? I heard there's going to be tacos and drinking and the whole deal afterwards.
Happy hour.
Yep. Big happy hour before the doors open at 7, and then the show gets started a little bit after 8 o'clock. It's an all-star night of comedy that we're doing at the Gibson. We have the very, very last pair of tickets to give away right now, and it's Kevin and Bean's title fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight. Two people enter the ring.
Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to
go comedy show.
Ralph, set this up for the listeners. What's going to be happening here?
All right. What? This is going to be weird because we've never done it this way before. But instead of Lisa and myself playing the game, it's going to be Kevin and Miss Cleo. Mm-hmm. And we're going to give them a list of projects that the comedians that are performing this evening have been involved in. Movies or TV shows they have appeared in. And what they're going to have to do is to describe to the best of their ability without using any of the words in the title to each of our contestants what these projects were. And then if you can guess them all within a certain period of time, you will be the winner.
Okay, so 45 seconds on the clock. You're going to try to ultimately come up with five, right? That's all you got to come up with.
Five to use, yeah.
And we can't use the words in the title or the comedian's name?
Right. You don't want to. You can't say who was in the project, and you cannot say any of the words in the title of the TV or film project they were involved in.
All right, let's go to Frank first. He'll be our first contestant. He's on line three on the Kevin Bean Show. Then we're going to go to Jason after that. Frank, since we're going to make you go first, I'm going to let you pick who you'd like to be your partner in this game of title fight. Would you like Kevin or would you like Miss Cleo?
By the way, hi guys. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hello.
Choose your poison.
I'll choose Miss Cleo.
You all son right. of a bitch.
That's a vote
would
of confidence
like to,
for Kevin,
would you like
isn't
to
it?
Hang yourself or would you. You like to fall on a sword?
Hey, Frank, did you listen to the last game I did?
No, he did.
There's no spelling.
Too late.
All right, again. So, Frank, here's what's going to happen. You're going to hear the timer begin. There'll be 45 seconds on the clock, and Miss Cleo is going to try to get you to name five projects that the comedians on the bill tonight are involved in.
Now, if you're struggling, and for time's sake, you can pass, and then if there's time left at the end of the round, you can come back around and try to get that one. Okay.
All right. Who's got their finger on the buzzer in case we say the wrong words?
I got that.
Okay.
I got that. All right. Is everybody ready to play?
So now we're going to give Miss Cleo because no one's been able to see.
Oh, she hasn't even looked at it yet.
Okay. She'll be finding these cold when she gets them.
Go ahead and hand it to
her. And the minute she gets the list, we'll start the clock. Okay.
Here we go.
All
right. The first one. Where do you go to learn something? It's a movie that also has Jack Black in it.
School of Rock.
And this was a British series that came from England, and then we copied it.
The Office?
When it's cold, he did a voice for the... okay.
I did.
Yes.
What?
This was a show with people who had to do really bizarre, crazy things and eat disgusting... Oh, okay. I can't say that word. Underneath, when you're really, really mad, and it's a body part that I can't describe on air... And when you're mad, it's another word for mad, and come on.
Pass.
That's the last one. You can't pass.
Okay.
Impressive, though. Wow. Look, Frank, you got nothing
nice
to be ashamed
done,
of, man. Four out of five. The last one that Miss Cleo was having trouble with was Balls of Fury.
which
I don't expect you to get because she was horrible on that. But, of course, Patton Oswalt is in that movie. But, look, four out of five.
Look, she was horrible in Ice Age, too, and he got that one.
That was unbelievable.
Ice Age is unbelievable.
She said, cold. Ice Age.
Here's the ones that you got. School of Rock, Sarah Silverman is in that. The Office, Craig Robinson, of course. Ice Age, Ray Romano does the voice of the Mastodon in that. Fear Factor, of course, Joe Rogan was the host. Patton Oswalt was in Balls of Fury. I think we need to pass a rule, though. You can't use any of the performers in any of the projects. Because that...
other performers?
We can't pass a rule now that Sarah's already... Miss Cleo's
that
already
Jack
done
Black
it,
School of Rock thing. That was a bit of a...
We got to give Kevin the same opportunity.
Yes, we do.
All right, Kevin, how are you feeling now that you've seen your competition 4 out of 5?
I am going to get smoked so bad.
I schooled you.
You have to get all five,
and
Kevin.
Poor Jason, who's got me as a... You know, whatever I do.
Oh, my God.
That's what happens to me when you put the pressure
partner?
On.
Partner?
All right. Yeah. Jason, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Good morning.
All right. So
Jason, I'm really sorry
this. Jason.
You've had the advantage of hearing how the game is played with an excellent contestant and an excellent clue giver. Let's see how Kevin does. 45 seconds on the clock again. You're going for all five to win the tickets for tonight's Foolishness.
When Kevin gets the list, seeing them for the first time, that's when we'll start the clock, okay?
All right.
Here we go.
We'll work well together.
They smoke out a lot.
Weed.
Yes. A little mouse that cooks.
Pass.
Not a mouse, but another word for a mouse.
Lit.
People seem to really admire this person.
Jimmy Kimmel Live.
F you! F you! This is... This is... It's a movie about weed that just came out recently, and it has a fruit in it, and the fruit is yellow.
Come on, I don't even feel bad now because Jason blows.
I'm just bad. We work well together.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
All right.
Well, I got one.
Ralph, recap for us what Kevin was trying to say.
They smoke out a lot. The first one, Weeds, of course. Kevin Nealon stars in that film. The actually, this was a pretty good clue. Kevin said a little mouse who cooks.
Yes.
That, of course, was Ratatouille, the hugely popular animated film.
That's on Jason, by the way.
That's
on
Jason.
Yeah.
Patton Oswalt was the voice of Ratatouille in that film. People seem to really appreciate this person. He was trying to get to Everybody Loves Raymond, of course, Ray Romano.
That's a tough one.
The smoking out comedy with the fruit in the title, Pineapple Express would be the name of that film.
I think
Craig
I share
Robinson.
The failure with him on that one.
And then we did not get to Along Came Polly with Jeff Ross.
I hate to say it, but that was way more Jason than it was Kevin.
I schooled really you, was. Kevin.
No, you
went down.
You and Frank schooled me and Jason.
Well, Frank really made
Which
me look
percentage?
Like a hot star.
I think Jason and Kevin share the blame in that.
But could I suggest something? Could I suggest that perhaps Miss Cleo was the phone screener and picked her person?
BS. I only asked them if they knew the comedians that were performing tonight.
Wow. Look at the guy who loses the Super Bowl complaining about the referee.
Yeah, look at that. I know Bill Belichick was taping me on the sidelines.
Wow. All right, Frank, congratulations. You're in the house tonight at the Gibson for Kevin and Bean. It's the first annual April Fool's. Just way to go, dude.
Awesome. Thank you.
See you.
Thanks, Frank.
Hey, what's the group that was from Scranton and made it big? Is that U2?
Yes.
U2, as you know, playing the Rose Bowl October 25th. Tickets go on sale Monday morning at 10. We've been giving away tickets to you all week long on K-Rock and qualifying you for this grand prize drawing phone call that we're making right now. So if your phone's ringing, it could be us.
Good morning.
Good morning, Vince.
Good morning, Kevin.
How are you?
Wow, it's like you knew he was calling.
Look at that.
One of the few listeners who could actually tell us apart as well.
Oh, my gosh. No, I've got to be dreaming. Bean, what is the name of your old llama that used to spit at you?
Why are you asking me about Sparky 15 years later?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, then I know I'm not dreaming.
He did. He had a llama that spit at him.
His name was Sparky, yeah. Vince, are you some sort of weird Kevin Amin super fan?
Yeah, you might call me that, but let's not focus on that. Let's focus on you, too. Please tell me that's why you're calling.
We don't have to have any personal interaction with him, do we?
No, we don't. Well, as you know, you won tickets to see you, too, at the Rose Bowl on October 25th. You already got that locked in. You're cool with that.
Very much looking forward to it.
And then we said, hey, why not let us put you in the drawing for the ultimate summer vacation to see the band in four European countries, and I mean France, Germany, Holland, and Ireland. You've also won that, my friend Vince.
Oh, my gosh. That is good news.
Wow.
France, Germany, Holland, Dublin, Ireland.
I don't even know how you get your head around that.
That's a hell of a summer vacation right
sure
there.
Sure is.
I've never been to any of those.
Awesome. You're going to get kicked out of every one is my prediction.
So
I probably will.
When people come up to you and go, Vince, what do you got going on this year? Oh, I don't know. Tickets to 5 U2 concerts in 5 different countries.
You can just say you're touring with them. That's all you got.
Oh, my God. That is good news.
So you got airfare for two.
Probably 35 times.
You got airfare for two. What? You've seen U2 35 times?
Give or take, yes.
Wow. No kidding.
That's huge amazing. U2 fan. How about that?
What's the first year you saw him?
October 30th, 1992 at Dodger Stadium, ZTV.
How about that? That's crazy.
All right, you get airfare for two all the way there. You get hotel in each city. You get concert tickets in each city. And you get $500 spending cash.
Oh, all right.
Listen, we always ask. No one ever remembers. But when you're back, we want you to call us and tell us how it is, okay?
I will do that.
Here's what I like about us is that the economy is the way it is. So normally when we send somebody to one city to see one show, we give them $500 spending cash. This guy's going to four countries to see you two. Same amount of spending cash.
Same money. Yeah.
Good luck.
Really not going to be able to do it on that cash.
It's on you.
All right, Vince, you scare us, but thank you for listening. And I'm glad that we gave this away to you two fan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll have somebody call you back a little bit later on.
You know, the Fast and the Furious franchise, Kevin, has made hundreds of millions of dollars.
A lot of it mine.
How could you not make another one? The new Fast and the Furious movie opens up everywhere today. We got a chance to talk to Jordana Brewster on the afternoon show yesterday. We're very excited to welcome Paul Walker to the Kevin Bean Show right now on K-Rock. Hey, Paul, how are you, man?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Good.
We're not as excited as we were for Jordana, but, you know.
Yeah, but it's nice anyway to talk
sure.
to you.
So, sorry, we're on the same team.
Yeah. So, Paul, you guys have been, we talked to Jordana yesterday, as we mentioned, you guys have been crazy all over the world talking about this Fast and the Furious. How much fun is that?
It should be a lot more fun. I don't want to sound like a stick in the mud, but, man, you know what the thing of it is? You don't get to see anywhere where you stop.
Yeah, it's kind of a grind.
It's hotel room to hotel room, but I got to tell you, Moscow was unreal. We got an extra day in Moscow. We had one free day there. Of all the free days that we had it in Moscow, which was the spot to have it. Saw the Red Square, the Kremlin.
Cool. Now, pretty cool. I want to ask you about that seriously, and we will get to Fast and the Furious, but I'm going to Finland this summer, and when I was doing the research on Finland, I know a lot of people, because Finland borders Russia, a lot of people go over into Russia from Finland, but there's nothing but warnings in all of the travel books and sites that say, dude, you don't want to go to Russia if you're an American. You will totally be targeted. You'll totally be robbed and raped and everything else. You didn't have any kind of problem with the people there?
No, no. People love to tell the bad stories, man. You know, I think it's like anywhere. You know, when you travel, it's unbelievable. So,
but I'm just guessing that you went with security and tall, goofy Bean is going to go over there by himself.
Right.
They're just going to chop his head off.
It makes a difference. Yeah, Jordana was telling us that there's a huge car culture in Russia, too, that I guess I didn't realize that that's one of the things that the people who can afford it love to spend their money on is the kind of rides that you guys drive in Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, it's bang for your buck kind of rides. You know, I don't think I recognized a single car when I was there.
Really?
They're on, like, Russian make of this and that, but... Yeah, it's one thing that blows me away. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. I mean, I've been all over the place, even on my own dime, and it's just, it's unbelievable. And the furthest corners, you got kids coming out with their souped up, you know, hopped up rides, and, you know, it's pretty cool, man. I mean, it wasn't too long ago. There's no way in hell we would have made it into Russia, and now we're walking in, and there's a red carpet, and there's all these kids with the race cars and everything. It was a sight to see.
Have people come up to you with their car and tried to get you to jump in and go for a ride?
No, it happens all the time.
Does it? And you say no every time, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, no, let's go. You drive and we'll race. Good idea.
How much actual driving do you get to do? I mean, is there ever a point where you get to go a couple of miles, or is it always just fits and starts when they're making movies?
Not enough. The funny thing is with Vin and I is we're really competitive. So more of the stuff with the racing for us happens when they call cut.
We got
a wide open street, man. You know, it's like a good 3 miles long. We're only supposed to do a couple of blocks, and they're yelling over the radio, "Yo, Vin, Paul, come back!"
Yeah. And who wins most of the time?
I do.
Yeah, of course. If you're talking to Paul Walker, of course Paul Walker wins, right?
Now, it's always amazing to me that as long as there have been movies that feature car chases. I mean, that's just essential, right? And it's hard to imagine in 2009 that you guys could come up with stuff that's new and different. But when I see this trailer for this movie, I swear to God, I'm seeing stuff that I've never seen with cars before. It's like Nitro.
Yeah. No, that's what it's about. This guy, Justin Lin, he did the third one, the director.
Right.
Just a super cool cat, and he spent, you know, a good probably 6-7 months just storyboarding, coming up with new beats and new pieces for action sequences. And, you know, being that he did the third one, I think, you know, he's had a lot of time to kind of scratch his head and go, oh, what would be cool? What hasn't been done yet?
Right, right.
And I think the studio acknowledged that, and that's why they brought him on for the fourth one, and it was a good thing.
I'd like to give you credit for using the words cool cat. I haven't heard that in a while.
You must have a stunt driver for a lot of the stuff that you, Paul, but then they also need you to kind of be involved near crashes and fire and stuff like that. Have there been any hairy situations on the set making this movie?
Man, I crashed a car in the second one pretty good.
Excellent.
You know, it happens. You know, things get banged up, crashed up. But like you said, I have a stuntman that's out there taking most of the risk for me, a good friend of mine, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know. He loves crashing, but he doesn't crash a whole lot. We had one of the stunt doubles, and I was stacking it up left and right. I think there was one point there, like, going, man, I don't know if this guy's really qualified.
Really? Yeah. I'll tell you, that stunt driver's getting...
He knew the right people, and he managed to hold on until the very end.
That stunt driver's sure getting a lot of accidents. I'm not sure he's the guy we want.
That's amazing. Well, the movie just looks like nothing but fun, though. I mean, the beautiful thing about Fast and Furious, you know what you're going to get. And in this one, you get the actors that you loved from the first one all together again with Michelle Rodriguez and Jordana Brewster and everything, and you and Vin back together again, you know, resuming your feud. But I guess you're on the same side for a while in this one. I think we've got a clip from the new movie Fast and the Furious opens up everywhere today. Paul Walker's on the phone. Listen to this.
So you can tell that sounds good, right? All right, here's another clip.
U-turn, if possible.
Are you kidding me?
See? Doesn't that sound good?
I'm looking forward to it.
Here's another one.
You are now 4.2 miles from your destination.
Sorry, car.
All right.
Yeah.
Kevin, I know you, and this is the kind of movie that you're going to go see this weekend, and you're not going to be able to drive 55 miles an hour back to your house.
That's correct. Yeah, that makes it hard for me. When I see stuff like this, I just want to go out and race and, you know, do all the stuff they do because I'm that good a driver.
Of course you are, right. Yeah. Fast and the Furious opens everywhere today. You ought to check it out. Paul, good to catch up with you, dude. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
See, the problem is that people complain too much, and that's my complaint.
That was A Moment with Kevin. In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
There's about 8 new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend.
Wow.
Any of them Fast and Furious?
One of them is.
Okay.
A couple others we're going to take a look at as well. In limited release comes a sci-fi comedy called Alien Trespass, which is brought to you by one of the writers of X-Files called R.W. Goodwin. He has written and directed this comedy, which is set in 1957. It's basically a B-movie like they used to make in the 50s about aliens invading this great planet of ours, Earth. And it's reportedly pretty funny and charming if you like those old-school sort of schlocky, campy horror movies.
Sounds perfect for me.
Yeah. Eric McCormick of Will and Grace fame stars, along with Robert Patrick and Dan Lauria. So, interesting cast. Looks like it could be a charming film if you've got nothing better to take a look at. This weekend also is the debut of Adventureland. This comes from Greg Mottola, one of the writers of Superbad. He's a writer and director on this project. Now, though they're trying to sell this as a Superbad-type comedy, from what I can tell, it's much more sort of like a slice of life taking place during the summer of 1987, kind of a Dazed and Confused for the 80s, starring Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart. You know her from Twilight fame. Really, with the bell?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't get I
like
get
those pasty goth girls. You know that.
I don't get a hit off of her. I don't get a sexy hit. Nothing off
she
of her.
She does look dead behind the eyes. I will say that. She's not a joyous person, but she's pretty hot.
Bean likes that in people.
And she's
true.
She's a hippie. Like, how does that not turn you off?
Really? I feel about hippies. Yeah. My whole life.
You have been saying that.
Hippies. Here's a little clip from Adventureland. As I mentioned, it takes place in the summer of 1987. A recent college grad named James is, he's unsure what he's going to do with his life, so he takes a nowhere job at his local amusement park, hence the name Adventureland in this film. And here is when Lisa P., the character played by Kristen Stewart, comes back from her summer vacation, and all the guys who work there at Adventureland are talking about her because they all have a little crush.
Brandon, Lisa P.'s back!
Yeah, who's Lisa P.?
Holy mother of crap, who's Lisa P.?
That's Lisa P.
Come on.
That asks a higher truth. Look at that little portal of light just below her crotch. Right where the thigh meets the pudendum.
The pudendum? Are you pre-med?
I'm telling you, man, I've had dreams about that diamond-shaped portal.
Pudendum? What are you, pre-med?
By the way, it's interesting, Ralph, you chose that clip, because I hear that, like Dazed and Confused, this movie is wall-to-wall 80s music. Like, there's 50 songs or something.
Oh, really?
Including a huge, huge plot point on Rock Me Amadeus.
Well, there you go.
So, I know you're all about that.
Wow. Sign me up. Get my tickets from Fandango as we speak. Also opening this weekend, Fast and Furious. Don't be confused. It's not The Fast and the Furious, which was the title of the first movie. And it's not Too Fast and Too Furious,
right,
which was the second one. And it's not The Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, which is the third.
Right.
It's Fast and Furious.
Okay.
Without the thus.
Without the thus, which means it's the fourth one.
Okay. See? All right.
Gotcha. Me neither.
Wow.
But that's what it is. It's same model, new parts. No, new model, original parts.
Yes.
That's how they're selling it. It's the reunion of Paul Walker, you guys were just talking to, Jordana Brewster, of course, Vin Diesel, and Michelle Rodriguez. They all return in the roles that made the movie stars in the first place. Fast and Furious, I had to see this last night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow.
A rare movie beat.
Yeah, how about that?
And let me tell you something. These movies are exactly what they're supposed to be.
Excellent.
For the most part. This one's a little better than most because the original cast is back together again, so it's got that additional kick to it. Paul Walker is really, really good in this movie. Vin Diesel is in this movie.
Okay.
And it's basically car porn. I got to see with a bunch of performance auto enthusiasts last night, and they were just sporting wood the whole time. Because it's amazing cars doing amazing things. And if you're a car-aholic, then you will just, your head will explode.
This is Made for Lightning and Adam Carolla.
And people like
who
him.
Will watch nothing else all weekend long.
And me.
It's very impressive, the stunts and stuff they do with the cars. I mean, they have a race underground at one point. They do some amazing things on the streets of Los Angeles. This is moving the story back to L.A. So I really sort of enjoyed it, so much to my surprise, how much I enjoyed this film. As I mentioned, Vin Diesel returns as Dominic Toretto. And he's a bad guy. You know, he's getting into trouble with a heroin dealer. And Paul Walker stars as Brian O'Connor, who's back working for the FBI. And he wants to warn off Mia, played by Jordana Brewster, who is Dom's sister, who he loves. Although he had to lie to her and pretend to be somebody else in the first one.
You're confusing me now.
Here they get together, and he's trying to warn her to stay away from her brother because the cops and the FBI are after him. And he wants to apologize for his behavior in the first film, basically.
Why don't you tell me why you dragged me here, Brian?
You know they're going to capture Dom. I don't want you getting tangled up in this, so stay away from him.
That's what you have to say to me after 5 years? All of a sudden you care what happens to me.
What I did to you was wrong. I'm sorry, it was the hardest thing I ever had to do.
I'm sorry too, Brian. I'm so sorry that you had to come into my home and pretend to love me. I'm so sorry that you ripped my family apart. I'm very sorry that that was hard for you.
Wow, what a bitch.
Dinner party.
Wow. But if this is car porn, just like with regular porn, who needs scenes like that? Get behind the wheel.
There are some moments where you're like, okay, can we just start an engine at
just
some
jump
point?
In the car again?
There are moments where they've written lines for Vin Diesel.
Oh, no. They wrote some lines for him?
Yeah. You've got these awkward Vin Diesel moments where like Michelle Rodriguez will say to him, come on, baby, let's get out of this before it's too late.
It's already too late.
Yeah.
You just know that's coming.
Yeah. He's the new Stallone.
And, you know, Paul Walker and he have to team up to bring down this heroin dealer.
Yeah.
And they get to Mexico, and Paul Walker's like, this is the end of my jurisdiction.
This is just the beginning of mine.
Nice. Yes.
You can just see those moments getting set up from about a mile away throughout the movie. Yeah. So if you can overcome those,
does it work kind of on a cheesy level?
Yeah,
it's supposed to be
because it's Vin Diesel. It's not only
it's supposed to be cheesy, okay.
But it does work on that level because it is Vin Diesel and he's just, you know, this giant muscle bound t-shirt wearing clod, and he's got those moments where it's just,
are you the boss or am I talking to the boss?
Oh dear God,
those kind of moments. But I enjoyed it. So Fast and the Furious is my, not the Fast and the Furious, Fast and Furious
right.
is my pick for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Or?
Oh, movie beat. How about that?
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
All right, we're going to talk to Sean William Scott in just a second. He's doing a charity event that seems bad. There's got to be an easier way to make money for charity.
I'm sure that there is. There's like 1,000 easier ways.
Autograph a couple of pictures, Sean.
Yeah.
What's he doing?
It's something called, I've never heard about this before, but it's something called the 2009 Drambuie Pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's going to be like bicycling across Scotland and then, I don't know, scuba diving to America and then walking across America and then swimming on top of the water to Alaska, and then walking across the ocean barefoot.
So it's like an Iron Man competition
or
something,
but
basically.
Extreme. Like, Iron Man is nothing to these people.
Hmm.
So why would he be doing this? What's the point of that?
Maybe we could ask him if we could get him on the phone.
That'd be cool.
Maybe it's just...
Maybe he's walking barefoot
over coals right now.
Right now.
He's practicing.
I don't know. There are some people, Kevin, who just, they have, you know, that adrenaline that they love to get, and you can't get it any other way.
I mean, love an adrenaline rush, too, but this seems like it's just ridiculous.
All right. Well, let's find out what's going on. Sean William Scott back on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Not talking about a movie this time. Talking about how he's going to die in Scotland. Hey, Sean. Welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Man, it's so good to talk to you guys. How you doing?
We are good. How are you?
I'm great, man. Tell me, what's going on? Like, when's the last time I saw you guys?
It's been a little while.
I think the last time we had John was for Role Models, which is now, by the way, out on DVD. Yeah. I bought my copy this week, and that movie, goddamn it, is funnier the second time around.
Dude, I'm so glad that I finally did a movie you guys like. Because, you know, I mean, I think there was a time when I went to, I can't remember, but I came in to see you guys for a film. It was so bad, and you guys were so nice.
Did we fake it?
No, you didn't make. Wait,
no, I'm saying, did we fake being excited about the movie?
No, you were just. It was one of those things where, when when you get along with somebody, like how we get along,
right?
You can always tell me, dude, you suck. The movie sucks. Don't feel bad.
Right.
But you know, sometimes like the way you do is like,
it looks like you guys had a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. We do that a lot.
I think it was like Mr. Woodcock or Dick.
I think it was Mr. Woodcock.
Like,
yeah.
It's great. How you guys been?
Well, we're fine, Sean, but we're fascinated with what it is you're doing. You're very kind to remember us, but we don't get this whole going to Scotland to die thing. I went to the website for this Drambuie Pursuit, which, by the way, is pursuitof1745.com, and I won't bore everybody with why that's the website. But they talk about you participating this year, and you are doing it to raise money for charity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before I became an actor, or I wouldn't even call myself an actor, dude. All I do is make fun of myself on film. But it basically, and I'll do anything for a joke, obviously. But like, I'll eat dog poop. But yeah, it's this race in Scotland that's like a 100-mile outdoor race. It's like there's 15 teams, and for me, you know, it's a lot of it was just the opportunity to be able to donate money to this charity called Dream Center that my mom made me aware of that helps inner city kids. But
here's my question then.
Yeah.
Write a check. You don't have to go be in this ridiculous race.
Dude, it's so much better when somebody else pays for it.
Oh, I see.
Oh, well, that is true. But, right. I mean, what kind of shape do you have to be in for this event? This isn't just like you can call the Rolodex of celebrities and whoever shows up can participate. This isn't a bowling game. I mean, this is actual hardcore running and mountain biking, white water rafting, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, like, I was a pretty intense athlete. And then, you know, when I was, like, in high school and my 20s and when I had to be, like, you know, in the rundown. Dude, I have been drinking a lot lately. And so, I 3 months ago when I decided to do this, I thought, I just kept saying, tomorrow I'll work out.
Start getting in shape a little later.
And then the next day, bro, I'm 20 pounds fatter than I was 2 months ago.
Yes.
I'm a month away from this thing. I'm like, you know, the bad thing is the guy, the friend that I asked to be a part of this thing, is a damn supermodel, a male supermodel, who's going to be all ripped.
Yeah, well, you're just dumb for that, for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just idiot. That's just stupid. I must have been wasted when I called him and said, hey, when I come to Scotland, this awesome race, I'm going to go, like, white water rafting, it's going to be hilarious.
You were drug dialing, that's what you were doing, and you got stuck with
it. Yeah, my buddy.
All right, so here's what it is. It's a 100-mile race, and there is outdoor trials, including archery, running, mountain biking, white water rafting, powerboat racing.
How cool is that?
Off-road dune buggy racing. All of these would be cool on their own.
Yes.
But you got canoe racing and cross-country biking.
Dude, I don't think I'm going to live through this.
Have you done any of these things before, Sean? Are you comfortable?
Before. I've been running. I've run in my life. Mostly from the police, and
we've all run in our life.
That's all I got. I did do archery once at a really strange church camp, and I accidentally shot a counselor.
Okay. Yes,
outstanding. It was actually kind of not on accident because it was really awesome. He deserved it.
Okay, let me ask you this, Sean, because I'm very puzzled. You're going to Scotland, and this is an event that has been going on for hundreds of years. Are they going to be taking it super seriously and expecting people to show up and be on their best behavior and really put their best foot forward? And are you going to be the Hollywood slob who shows up and is just kind of faking it?
Drunk.
Well, I think people will always consider me to be somewhat of the Hollywood slob. Hopefully not Hollywood, but just basically a slob.
Just a slob, yeah.
But yeah, just a slob.
I just wonder how they're going to respond to you.
It's like when I go golfing, because when people golf, they take it really seriously.
Right, and you're just there goofing off.
Yeah, then they look at you and you go, oh, you're just goofing off. We mean this.
You know what, man? Honestly, I looked at the footage and, like, it's pretty intense, man. Like, these guys are in shape. At the end of the day, dude, I just want to drink and hang out in Scotland.
Well, right, there is that.
But I don't want to be a fat shite.
I didn't read drinking anywhere in that list, though.
Well, yeah, but what I figured is, like, you know, I see these, you know, they have these things called the Olympics, right?
Yes.
And like, or like the, what is it, the those race, those bike races that Lance Armstrong does? What are those?
Tour de France.
Tour de France, yeah.
Yeah, and they always give them drinks, Gatorades. And I figure, you know, I'll just tip off some people and give them, like, instead of Gatorade, I'll get some Drambuie.
I like
it.
Okay.
A little whiskey, you know?
So now, is the reason you're on today, Sean, is because you can accept sponsors? People can follow along and help you raise more money for charities? is that part of it or no?
No, you know what? It's basically just, like, just getting awareness out of this thing. Because I think it's, to tell you the truth, I don't know how long that the race has been going on where it's, like, gotten this popular. I mean, I think it's this whole... The Drambuie Pursuit has been going on for a while. But, no, it's just like, for me, it's kind of a chance to get a get a chance to talk to you guys.
Okay, so you just this is really hey, check me out.
No,
otherwise I'm going to have to wait till Ice Age 3 to talk to you guys. And it's a freaking animated movie.
We saw this story, and we asked to get him.
Okay,
because we were saying, why would he?
Now we know.
You guys don't love me.
What's the reason?
You're still hung up on Dicks of Hazzard.
All right. Well, listen, we're about out of time, but I want to give out these websites again. Pursuitof1745.com is where you go if you want more information on the 2009 Drumbuie Pursuit, which, by the way, starts in the Scottish Highlands on Sunday, May 10th. And the charity organization that Sean's mom is a part of that sounds very well worth checking out is Dream Center. Actually, we want to get this out of here. Dreamcenter.org.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Dreamcenter.org. And then, I'm so sorry, and I really appreciate you putting that out there. Let me guys ask you a question. Do you think that Jessica Simpson and Johnny Knoxville had sex while shooting Dukes of Hazzard?
I do. Yes. Yes, I do. Very much
so. Awesome. Let's talk soon.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks, guys.
Is Money the one who spits, or is that Petros? Which one is this guy?
They both spit.
They both spit.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the guy from the You're Killing Me, Larry commercials.
Oh!
That's how you would know him. How great are those?
Hey, Matt Money Smith from AM570. How are you?
I'm good. I got to do commercials with a Los Angeles institution.
You did.
How can I say no to that?
You're killing me, Larry!
Oh, they wouldn't let you say no?
No. They wouldn't. They wouldn't let me say no. But you know what? It was something. You want to play it out here, Mike?
But money. They're slam dunking my profits.
Irwin again?
I got to tell you.
How about that?
Here's what I love about money.
The reprise of the role for you.
Here's what I love about money is that he really does bring the bad.
Yes.
And he's like, he matches the commercial.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I deliver what's needed.
Who is that guy?
Wait a minute. Is this Irwin again? You're slam dunking my profits, Larry.
Matt,
this is crazy.
Matt Money Smith, of course, sports guy of the Kevin Beach Show for many years, and now has gone on to superstardom and fame. He has a radio show, Kevin, that is actually heard all across this country.
Yeah.
He has people in Miami listening to his radio show. The nonsense that they put on down there.
Yeah,
it's
amazing. 205 markets. It's something when you get a call from Flint, and the guy just sounds like he's about to walk into traffic.
Excellent.
No.
You're like, brother, Michigan State's in the Final Four. It's going to be okay. I know. It's just times are tough, man.
Hey, I want to ask you about that since it is a Final Four weekend. It's in Detroit this year, which I'm sure they're thrilled with. I'm sure everybody's excited about that trip to Detroit in early April. But does it help Michigan State that it's sort of a hometown game?
Most definitely.
It's very, very rare that you actually have a game where there's sort of a hometown team.
And the interesting part of this is that it's at Ford Field. It's not at the Palace of Auburn Hills, which is where the Pistons play. So you talk about 20,000. This is in a 72,000-seat venue.
Wow.
So it clearly wasn't sold out.
Right.
But when Michigan State made it, all of a sudden, it definitely tilts Michigan State's favor because all those people that are local snatched up all the tickets that were available.
It's interesting that you brought up that 70,000-seat venue because there's been a lot of controversy lately with how much money the NCAA makes off of this tournament.
A fortune.
I mean, with all the it's starting to be indistinguishable from pro sports now in terms of the sponsorships and everything else that they have. I mean, the teams that are wearing, you know, Adidas on their uniforms and stuff like that. Athletes still not making a penny, right?
Still not making a penny, and they make a big deal out of any penny they happen to get. You know, Ty Lawson, because you have gambling in Canada right over the bridge in Windsor, Ty Lawson, the one of the best players left in the tournament, decided to cruise across the bridge and play a little craps and won himself $250, and it's a huge story today that this college athlete, who's 21 years old, went across the bridge to have a little fun in the casino.
But that doesn't have anything to do with
him being a player. It has nothing to do with it, but they say, oh, you know, gambling, you just never want to have gambling associated with sports, and it says something about his character. It just, you know, the pressure they put on these kids, considering the amount of money that they make for the NCAA and their institutions, it's ridiculous.
The University of Kentucky, guys, just hired a new coach, as you
John
know,
Calipari, yeah.
The highest paid coach in NCAA history. Right?
Yes.
It's a $32 million contract that the University of Kentucky is paying this guy to coach those athletes who are basically living
nothing.
Yeah, living
zero.
check to check if they have a part-time job at the student union.
Which, they're barely allowed to have, by the way. You know, the thing about college is coaches are the stars. You know, when you think about USC, who do you think of?
Pete Carroll.
Yeah, when you think about UCLA, Ben Howland.
Right.
You know, Rick Pitino, Louisville. Jim Calhoun, Connecticut. You know, and look at the Final Four. You have three of the four are coaching legends. Tom Izzo at Michigan State, Roy Williams at North Carolina, Jim Calhoun at UConn, all have won titles. That's why, you know, if you saw the story earlier in the season, right before the tournament started, Jim Calhoun is the highest paid state employee in Connecticut.
He makes more than the governor.
He makes more than the governor. Significantly more than the governor.
Because those guys really are, I mean, responsible for a lot of income.
Yes, big time. They are the stars of the program.
Is it ever going to change where they're going to give the players, I don't know, $20 a month?
A living wage.
Their problem is, you know, because football football and basketball are the money-making sports, they suggest, what do you do with baseball and hockey and all these other sports? How do you distinguish who gets what, and what about a star player versus the other 100 players on the college football team?
I think you would have to give all the same.
Sure.
And you would go based on how much the sport brings in.
They get a little bit, but I think what you're talking about is, look, if you're bringing in $12 million, if you're Hashim Tabit and you're helping to bring in $12 million to the University of Connecticut program, how about a little taste?
Yeah, right.
A little taste of that action, huh?
Well, I think what it does is these athletes a lot of times come from, they may not have had money, they may have been poor. Now they're just about to go into the NBA, and they still have zero.
Yeah.
So it makes it much more apt to take money from somebody.
The opposite side of that, of course, is, to go to the University of Connecticut will cost you $28,000 a year.
Right, but
you
don't they get scholarships?
Free.
Yeah, right.
So you're essentially getting $120,000 when you include room and board, for playing basketball. Problem is, you're playing basketball full time. You're practicing twice a day, 3 hours each time.
How do they even finish their education?
Very hard. College athletes really do have a rigorous schedule, But I guess for any kid that's got to go and has a job and has an internship, it's still balancing the same thing. But the demands are high.
That's why I did the right thing by trying out for my college team and not making it.
Yes, exactly. Right? Look at you now. No pressure.
I don't remember what your specific predictions were, Money, but they had to be very close to what ended up being the Final Four.
I had North Carolina and Memphis in the final, with North Carolina winning. Memphis, of course, got bounced. Michigan State is the interesting, and Villanova. These are the two underdogs. You have the two number one seeds in UConn and North Carolina, and they are the favorites to meet in the final. Mm-hmm. And it'd be the fourth in 5 years that number one seeds were the final two teams facing off against one another. But Villanova's a very tough, they really represent the city of Philadelphia. Their senior leadership.
They're
tough. They're scrappy. They're mean. It's a very hard team to play against. But North Carolina has so much talent. You're talking about three, maybe four guys that can go in the first round of the NBA draft. So that's going to be very tough for them to do, but they are a tough, scrappy team. Michigan State, conversely, has the greatest list of names, by the way, in the history. You ready?
Yeah.
You got Goran Sutan. You got Kalen Lucas, Raymar, another first name,
nice.
Durrell,
excellent.
Delvon, Draymond, and wait for it, Idong Ibuck.
Oh,
great
man.
Collection of names. I think we're all pulling for
Michigan State. I'm rooting for Michigan State. Yeah. Here are the odds from Vegas, by the way, and this was a couple days ago, so I don't know if it's changed, but Michigan State 6-1.
Yeah.
Villanova 5-1. UConn 3.5-1, and North Carolina 3-1.
Yeah, North Carolina is the most talented team, and they've got your
player for player. They're dominant.
Ty Lawson, like I said, probably the best player left. Hashim Tabit, who's the big 7'3". Another guy straight. Didn't start playing basketball till he was 16 in Tanzania. You'll hear that'll be your 60 Minutes
story.
People magazine moment. 6 in 100 kids have AIDS in Tanzania. 1 in 100 has access to the internet, and that's like the story with Tabit, that he just found a computer, went on Google, and started typing in colleges and randomly sent out emails.
No way.
I'm 7'2". I want to play basketball.
Really?
Come see me.
Wow.
Help me make it to America. It really is a great story. And he very well will be, the center of attention. Pardon the pun.
He's the center
of attention.
Wow, how do you do it?
Should UConn make it?
I watched that University of North Carolina Gonzaga game, and UNC wasn't even trying.
No.
I mean, that's how good they were.
And remember, my prediction was, if you want to watch one game that could be really good, maybe it's Gonzaga.
Yes, not at all.
Not at all. And that just speaks to how talented
they are. One more NCAA question before we take a break. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the Lakers and some other stuff. Kevin is on a tear this year to get this song banned from the Final Four.
One shining moment.
They've been using this song
close to 20 years
for their end of the Final Four montage for 20 years, and it's so gay and lame. and the lyrics are so right
one
on the nose.
Shining moment.
They throw the ball up and then they pass it, and then I want to rip my hair out when I hear it.
The idea was that it got so expensive for them to license songs to run at the end of the Final Four. They said that they just felt like, you know, publishing and management companies and these artists were taking advantage of them.
Okay,
they were asking
how do
for
you,
such an agree.
How do you pick this?
It wasn't instrumental originally. When they first put it on, I think the first couple of years, it was just a straight instrumental of this song, this thing underneath the highlight package. And then this guy, I guess, put lyrics to it.
Oh.
And I believe, actually, as a matter of fact, the guy who okayed this song and came up with this idea just passed away.
Oh,
like,
thank God.
A month ago. So maybe they were just hanging
on
to it for him.
Kevin had Luther killed first.
He did.
And now apparently he got
then
that
he broke
guy
up
killed.
Rage.
Right?
And now he's going after this
but
guy.
But honestly, for 20 years this song gets used.
But you don't get the hair on the back
no,
of your neck doesn't stand
listen,
up?
I love a good montage.
Because I start kind of rubbing my pelvis.
No, you don't know.
Right. I'm like, yeah, one shot moment.
All right, we need to take a quick break.
Former sports guy Matt Money Smith in the studio with us, telling us that North Carolina is going to win the Final Four. Probably.
I believe so. Yeah, that would be the. I'm sticking with my pick.
All right.
Not changing.
And who's going to win the NBA Finals this year?
Well, you know, Cleveland, prior to last night, really was on a run. They had, I believe it was 13 in a row.
That's right.
They've only lost one game at home.
Isn't that unbelievable for a whole season?
Yeah. So they were the team, and LeBron was playing great. His supporting cast, even though they're not a lot of names you'd be familiar with, guys like Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Anderson Varejao.
You can't use language like that on FM, man.
Oh, I can't. I apologize. Yeah, they were playing great, but they lost to the Wizards last night. You know, when the Lakers went on this road trip, they were gone for 14 days, played seven games on the road, which is the longest trip in NBA history. Just to put it in context, how tough that is. You know, when you start a season, you say, you know, win your games at home. Go 500 on the road,
right.
Successful season. So here you're gone for 2 weeks, seven games, and we said they're probably going to have to win them all if they want to get home court advantage in the NBA Finals, which is what they said cost them the championship last year.
And
how'd
that,
play those
and
two
how'd
in
that
Boston.
Go?
lost to Charlotte,
yeah.
Lost to Atlanta,
that
but
happened.
You know, maybe a little crack because you know, the Cleveland lost last night to Washington, one of the worst teams. In the NBA, they have the Magic in Orlando tonight. They have Boston at home. They have San Antonio at home. So there's still a possibility that the Lakers could end up, should they win out, with the best record in the NBA, which will help a lot.
You almost get the feeling as you're watching the season go along, though, that there has to be a letdown by all the teams.
There always is.
At some point.
There's always
mentally,
a lull.
You have to.
The Lakers' lull has never reached more than two games. And that goes back to when they got Pau Gasol. They have not lost three games in a row since they acquired him a year ago February. So clearly,
imagine what it's like for Clippers fans listening to hear, wow, there are teams that don't lose three, four, five games in a row.
Well, actually, recent development, no longer Clipper fans.
Oh,
there's just, they don't
right?
exist anymore.
The last one died out?
Officially done.
How about that?
It is over. So the Lakers, though, they said that this is, and this is my problem with setting goals like this. At the beginning of the season, they said, you know, if we had home court, we really feel like we would have won. So that's what we want to achieve this year. And it looked like it was going to happen because of Boston. Well, then out of nowhere comes Cleveland.
Right, that's right.
You don't get the best record. So what does that mean now? Does that mean that if Cleveland makes the NBA Finals, now you're screwed and you'll have to win the home court advantage in the regular season next year in order to win it? the great thing there, though, is the Cavs have lost one game. One out of, I believe, 36 games at home have been lost, and the Lakers beat them.
Yep.
So
right.
that's maybe a little confidence.
Tell me about Andrew Bynum.
Andrew Bynum likes to go to the Playboy Mansion, put
yes.
playmates on his shoulders
like
when he has
him.
A grade 3 tear of his MCL,
right.
Do the hula hoop,
mm-hmm.
Hop in his BMW M6 with, like, I don't know, 40-inch wheels and lay patches on Sunset Boulevard.
I'm a fan of all that, as long as he can play.
And hopefully he will be back. He actually practiced live practice for the first time yesterday. He had been kind of just going through rehab. He tore his MCL, which isn't as bad as your ACL. ACL, you blow it out, you're gone for a year. MCL is kind of lateral movement. It'll heal on its own without surgery.
When he hit the floor and he was screaming at the top of his lungs, I was like, no. But he'll be back in time for the playoffs.
They think so.
Fantastic.
They liked what they saw yesterday. They say probably first round. And that's the thing. You know, the Lakers have what I believe is the best offensive 7-footer in the league in Pau Gasol. He doesn't get nearly enough credit for how good he is. I think it's because he's a Euro and he looks like a hatchling and he's very quiet.
He is ugly.
But when they have him going, and then you add in a 7-foot-1, 285-pound behemoth, you just can't match up with that. I mean, teams don't even have one guy that can contain Powell, let alone two that can control both of those guys who play on the floor at the same time quite a bit. So that's, and plus, if you kind of use a hockey analogy, Phil also rotates them, so one of them is always on the floor. You will never have a breather without a dominating big man. So if Andrew comes back, I would say the Lakers are the prohibitive favorites to win the NBA title.
All right, this is only tangentially related to the NBA, but what is going on with your friend Dennis Rodman on The Celebrity Apprentice with the meltdown? What's left in that dude's life?
Well, he is emotionally unstable.
You think?
Very much, always has been. Even when he was winning championships with the Bulls and the Pistons, he was always a guy that needed... I mean, think about it. Jack Haley. You know what they called Jack Haley at UCLA when he played there? Surfing Jack Haley, because he couldn't play basketball. They just kept get out to the waves and just keep surfing. You can't play ball. But teams carried Jack Haley on their roster, paid him a million-dollar salary just to babysit Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. Right. Dennis Rodman said on the TV the other night, I don't know if you watched the show, he said that Phil Jackson told him, this is Dennis Rodman speaking, that he was the best player he had ever coached. Is he just making stuff up? Is he mentally unstable where he now believes that?
I have heard Phil Jackson say that in that NBA final, again, in that run that the Bulls made, I believe it was their last run, it was their first of the last three titles against Seattle, that there was possibly no better player on the floor for that NBA final than Dennis Rodman. So that may be expanding on what Phil's statement was.
So he had a good week.
He had a good six-game run there.
It is tough to argue anyone is that much better than Michael Jordan.
It is.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to top. Yeah, six titles without a center.
Is he mentally a little bit...
A little? He's stupid.
Is he like IQ 80? Is that what we're looking at with Dennis Rodman?
Because no,
I know.
No. He's a pretty smart guy.
Is he? Because on the show, he is so uncomfortable. He cannot have any... Lisa, you've commented on this before. He can't just talk to people in a regular conversation anymore. He's got something weird going on in his head.
Yeah, no, he's disturbed, I think.
Part of the problem, he's got nothing in his life ever since he left basketball. He's just been drifting. He didn't turn into a Magic Johnson where he developed a whole career.
Yeah, he had that one, well, plus I think, he has enablers. People are like, the best, Dennis. Yeah, yeah, right. wear that wedding dress to your book signing. It's going to be
That's a great idea.
Instead, it's followed him for 10 years.
And they said on the show that part of the problem, this was what some of his teammates were saying on The Apprentice, they're saying that people expect Dennis Rodman to party, and he disappoints them if he's not that crazy guy every time he goes out, and he feels like he kind of has to be that.
In a party town like Chicago, when he was there, a city that stays open, some places have liquor licenses until 5 a.m. in the city of Chicago. Yeah. He was, like you said, expected to do that every night, and did do that every single night, yet still performed, athletically at such a high level. It really is remarkable what he went through. I mean, as a guy who likes to drink and appreciate sports, I really do appreciate Dennis Rodman. Very well could have been the best ever, considering what he put together.
Yeah, of course. All right, so Final Four this weekend. Lakers heading into the playoffs. Tonight. I hate to bring it up because I'm not a fan, but I have tried to keep baseball off the air for as many months as I can, but it's this weekend.
This weekend. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, Sunday night. The season kicks off.
And I know there are a lot of Dodger fans, a lot of Angels fans listening to the radio
station. Great year. Yep. Great year for the city of Los Angeles and baseball, yes. I mean, Manny is as exciting as any player in baseball. It's worth it to go to the ballpark to watch him swing a bat. He's that great of a hitter. He's that fun of a dude to watch play baseball. And the Angels are from top to bottom. You put them up there with the best teams in the league, best rotation.
Do.
So this, of course, brings us to
our bet. Yeah,
annual bet.
By the way, Dodgers Angels both have opening day home games on Monday.
Monday, yes.
Yeah. All right, the bet that Bean has lost every year.
How many years do we go back now with Mariners Angels?
I'm going to say it's been six.
That means I'm out $600 so far.
I believe so. Yes, I believe it is.
Not actual money, because that would be illegal, but credits.
Yes,
credits. And your idea is that seven is a good idea?
I don't know. This is what I'm trying to think, guys.
Well, understand, I walked in. I walked in to the Kevin and Bean studios today, and the first thing Bean's... I have not seen Bean in a year.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
We on this year? And, of course, I say, absolutely, we're on this year.
I'm wondering if...
your kids' college.
I don't believe in curses or anything, but I'm wondering, because I lose every year that I bet, maybe I don't bet this year, and then miraculously the Mariners end up with a better season than the Angels.
I think you really put a lot of time and effort, and you are excited about the delivery method of how I get my money. I've gotten all coins. I've gotten all singles. I've gotten singles in 100 envelopes.
Yeah.
100 separate envelopes.
I just sent you all $2 bills one year.
Yeah, all $2 bills one year. So I'm all for it. I mean,
all right. Bean, I'm going to say that I know a lot of people believe that if they bet or they don't bet or whatever, they have some influence on the outcome. I'm going to suggest that you don't have much of an influence in this one.
I agree. I know. I know it's just me just trying to work my way through it in my head, because I hate to just lose another $100.
Well, the payoff for you is big. Should the Mariners win, to say, hey, Beginning of the year, your boy, knew the M's.
Well, how about some odds?
Kenji Jojima, I knew it.
There should be some odds. It should be like 3-1, 4-1, 5-1.
The Mariners have got to be 28-1 to go to the playoffs.
Well, I can't give you 28. I'll give you 5-1 odds.
5-1. All right, there you go.
We'll work that out off air. But I'm your agent, Bean.
I work a good deal for you.
The Mariners certainly did not very much to improve their squad this year from the team that lost 100 games last year.
They got Ken Griffey Jr. back.
Yeah.
He's a spring chicken.
He's 51 years old or something. All right, so we'll make that off the air, but I guess I should just give you a blank check now and you can just fill it in at the end of the year.
I will take $80 right now to call off the bet. $80.
Before the season starts, pay them.
5 minutes after the bet was consummated, $60 right now to call off.
$60 right now.
Matt Money Smith with Petros Papadakis afternoon starting at 3, I want to say. Is that right?
4 o'clock.
Starting at 4 o'clock.
Lakers are playing tonight, so I'll have pre and post there as well. Rockets are in town.
Before you go, I have to bring up Sacramento Kings.
Yes.
Retired the jersey of
Vlade Divac, your favorite player of all time, Kevin.
Hate that
Kevin.
A-hole.
Yeah, that is actually how I cut my teeth on Lakers radio. I used to call Stu Lance every post game and tell him how awful Vlade was. But Vlade Divac scored 20 points and had 15 rebounds. Yeah, Stu, he should have had 17 rebounds. I do not know what you are talking about.
Is the jersey smoking? Do you know? The one they retired?
Yes, the all 21, right. The one in the 21 has smoke coming out the top of it.
All right, good. Thanks for coming in, Money. We appreciate it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Poor Jason, who's got me as a whatever I do.
Oh, my God!
That's what happens to me when you put the pressure
partner.
On.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
As they're turning those around pretty quickly.
Wow. That just happened. 8:53 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz for the Friday morning.
Before I get to showbiz, how about some tickets to something cool?
All right.
I've got passes to give away to the world premiere of Observe and Report, starring our buddy Seth Rogen. All happens Monday, April the 6th. That's this Monday, in case you don't get to win these tickets for the special red carpet world premiere. The movie is going to be out at the end of next week, so you can check it out at the Gramas Chinese Theater, April 6th. I've got 5 pairs of passes to give away to the world premiere of Observe and Report. If you'd like to go, call now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now and you can win and go see it, which looks very, very funny.
Those look good.
Should we ask a trivia question? A funny version of Paul Blart.
Yeah. We could ask the same one Kevin gave to his contestant earlier today.
Okay, what's that?
Yeah, it's Fruit and Weed.
Right.
Fruit and Weed. Seth Rogen, Fruit and Weed movie.
Fruit? Is a fruit in it?
Come on.
It's yellow?
Come on. It was a weed movie called Pineapple Express.
Lemon? The lemon?
Come on.
Lemon Road?
That was on him.
I wouldn't say yellow for a fruit for pineapple. It would be the best description of pineapple.
He wasn't even in the ballpark.
Yellow fruit. People are thinking lemons. That's all I'm telling you.
I'm saying you're wrong.
Or mangoes.
Bananas.
It's a Hawaiian fruit. It's big in Hawaii.
You're not wrong. You just maybe less than right.
There's that. Jessica Biel.
Yes.
Yes. Is hot.
Yes. Yeah.
And finally, she's doing what she should be doing.
Taking her clothes off.
In her new movie, Powder Blue, she plays a stripper.
Yes.
Yes. Not only does she play a stripper, but now she loves strippers because she's been working so hard on honing her stripper craft.
Research.
On Access Hollywood last night, she was talking about it, and she loves strippers as much as I do.
I've gained such a greater respect for the women that actually do this for a living. It's so difficult.
Me yes, too. It is. Especially when you're trying to hold back the tears.
And forget when daddy touched you.
Aww. Why you gotta make it ugly? Stay up on those stilettos. A half an eight ball up your nose in the middle of the night, and you've already had a few Jaeger shots.
You're making this sound negative.
Kevin's beer breath on your neck.
Yeah, really.
You're so hot.
No. You want to see pictures of my twins? No, sir, I really don't. Can I just do the dance, please?
Let me ask you a question about being a stripper. Can I see your boobs?
I have to be on the air in 4 minutes. I don't even care. I'm going to go there whenever I go there. I don't care. None of the bosses of me. That's Kevin, the strip club in Vegas.
How dare
anytime
you?
We're there.
How dare you?
I'm supposed to be on it ready to run now. I don't care. More dancing. That's what Kevin says.
I don't remember ever doing that.
Well, trust me. All right. Don't remember a lot of things you do.
It's true.
But you do them. Dina Loewen is the greatest mom in the world.
And by greatest, you mean worst?
No.
Oh.
MSNBC said she really has gone to bat for her kids
Like this weekend, for example, they were going to a nightclub in Hollywood. Dina Lohan had her daughters in tow, Lindsay and Allie.
D-Lo!
And they got to, D-Lo got to the front of the entrance there, and security had the balls to refuse to let her 15-year-old daughter Allie into the nightclub.
What? You're kidding.
Just because they serve alcohol there.
And it would be illegal and they could lose their license?
Right.
I see.
But Dina, being the mom that she is, would not stand for that.
Stupid ass bitch.
So she reached into her quiver and pulled out my favorite arrow. Don't you know who I am? She laid on the security guard.
F you, you effing bitch.
And, of course, because Dina's a good mom and teaches by example, Lindsay jumped into the fray and threatened the security dude that he was making a huge mistake and this could cost him his job.
Oh, wow.
She's 15, right?
Nice.
Allie Lohan is 15.
15. Yeah. All right. Good times.
Well, I mean, it does answer the question, how did Lindsay Lohan turn out to be the fine young woman that she is? I mean, look at her mother and what she's teaching.
They ought to turn those kids over to her coke-snorting father. They'd be in better hands.
Give me the Octomom.
Yeah, that too.
That too. That'd be good. Heidi Montag has a big treat for all of us.
Woo!
She's working on new music.
Oh, tell me this is true.
Remember her first single? The
Not really.
The Beach is Cold, or whatever it was, that video of her rolling around.
Dragging my feet along the path I was walking with no hope to defeat. No comfort in what I was lacking.
No! No!
This is new Heidi we're listening to?
Yeah, Kevin decided just to play the clip on his own, but I would have set it up and explained to you what you were listening to had you just waited, just a hair. This is work. She's working on her second album, she claims.
Hmm.
And this would have been a track from that.
Kind of embarrassing that we're playing this before AMP.
Yeah, I know. Hard to believe. AMP world premiere. The best news is that she's also working on a few duets with her better half, Spencer Pratt.
That's what I'm talking
about. That's
fantastic news.
Heidi tells Us Weekly magazine, Spencer's got mad skills.
Sure. Yes, he does.
He not only sings, but can rap as well, she claims.
You know the Kiss Me cams in the arenas?
Yeah.
They kiss me, you know, they get the people to make out and stuff. Spidey there was at a Laker game courtside, and they had the Kiss Me cam.
Uh-huh.
Camera guy's right there. That's
going to
be the big closing shot. But the couple right before them was probably 80 years old and looked like Santa and Mrs. Claus.
Yeah.
And they got such a great round of applause that they just kept it on him for 30 seconds. Spidey never made it on.
Yeah.
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 Dissing Spidey for old people.
This is insane.
I recommend it highly.
They made the right call.
I got an email from a listener when I was talking about Fast and Furious, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who mentioned that I forgot the best part of the movie, and I did, and I stand corrected, and I'd like to correct that now. If you go see Fast and Furious, two words for you. Gal Gadot.
What's that mean?
Gal Gadot is a smoking hot model actress from Israel.
Okay.
Oh. Who is the femme fatale in this movie, who is just insane and likes to wear wife beaters with no bras.
Ooh.
In cold rooms.
Ooh.
That's all you need to know.
All right.
Gal Gadot. Remember that name.
Gal
you will
Gadot.
Be masturbating it too later in your life. Trust me.
Okay.
Gal Gadot.
Does it have to be later in our lives?
Well, you don't know her now, but soon, at some point, you will be saying those words while you touch yourself. Gal Gadot. Do-do-do-do-do. Gal Gadot. Do-do-do-do.
Oh, she's just so smoking hot. God, I would do things to her that she would probably laugh at. You bitch!
Gal Gadot. Do-do-do-do. Gal Gadot. Do-do-do-do. Gal Gadot. Move on, shall we? Today's celebrity birthday is just an assful. Just an assful of birthdays. Leona Lewis is 24. Amanda Bynes is 23. Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother is 27. Jenny Garth from Beverly Hills, 90210 is 37. Sebastian Bach is 41. Mike Ness from Social D is 47. Eddie Murphy is 48. David Hyde Pierce is 50.
Jeez.
Alec Baldwin is 51. Mick Mars of Motley Crue is 53. Wayne Newton celebrates his 67th birthday. But the one I got through all those just to get to this one, Tony Orlando, who, of course, is a good friend of Kevin and Bean's.
Yes.
Nope.
Back when Kevin and Bean were, as you know, the spokespeople for Schmeckfest, a drinking holiday in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. They combined their forces with Tony Orlando to come up with a theme for Schmeckfest. And we don't get a chance to play this single very often. This is off their first album, I think.
It's Mark and Brian.
Here's Kevin and Bean and Tony Orlando singing the theme from Schmeckfest.
Gather round, boys and girls, and listen. You know that Schmeckfest is a special time each year. Kevin and Bean will be in Freeman, South Dakota, to meet those East German chicks and drink some beer. There'll be lots of screaming men and women and children. There will be sauerkraut and knockwurst. Did we mention beer?
Whoa, baby!
Thank you, our special new friend, Tony Orlando.
No problem.
For helping K-Rock celebrate Schmeckfest this year.
Schmeckfest!
Oh, dude, God, I'm glad that's over, man. That was painful for me, man.
In our defense, we had Tony Orlando on as a guest one time in 1990. Yeah. How could we still be made to pay for that sin?
Wasn't a good idea then. there's no statute of limitations on murder, my friend. You're still held accountable for your actions.
Ralph, back then I was on my own trying to battle the badness that is being. I mean, really, you think I voted for Tony Orlando?
I'd like to know, in the theme to Schmeckfest, which sounds like a lovely holiday in Fremont, South Dakota, wherever it is, why are there thousands of screaming men and women and children? What's going on during the holiday that's part of the celebration? What are they screaming about?
They're just enjoying themselves and
why are they
beer?
Screaming and running around then?
I don't. If I recall correctly, we did that. We did it live on the air. We didn't even do anything before, which is hard to believe, I know, but
yeah, we wrote it and recorded it live while Tony Orlando was in the studio over the course of like 10 minutes.
I get a tremendous visual of Bean and Kevin and Bean in like pastel colored Hobie tank tops, running their fingers through their mullets.
Absolutely. Saying, hurry up, we got to get down to KDOC and host afternoon video hour, whatever the hell the show was.
All of that is accurate. Yeah. I wish it wasn't, but it is.
Come on, we got to get out of here. They're waiting to tape Godzilla Theater over at Channel 9.
There's a guy that's going to eat a caterpillar on TV, and I'm going to do play-by-play.
Look, everyone's got some things on their resume they wish they could forget. And you're just not letting us do that, Ralph.
Dick Blade can't make KBOC's video roundup. They're calling in us. We're pulling us from the bullpen.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
You guys, you're all right.
Wacky.
You know we love you.
Cookie.
Right?
You're Ralph Garman.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Tonight on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, it comes on at 12:30 a.m. here in Los Angeles, right after Jay Leno and The Tonight Show on NBC4. Special guest tonight on Jimmy Fallon's show, Lauren Graham, smoking hot girl from, thank you so much, from Gilmore Girls. Comedian actor Judah Friedlander from 30 Rock will be stopping by, and also music from the Cold War Kids. That's all tonight, 12:30 a.m. on Channel 4 NBC.
Thank you, Ralph. On Monday's show, by the way, we have Rancid in the studio for the 5 p.m. hour.
Wow.
How about that?
That's pretty strong.
Cinco de la Tarde. This afternoon, we're going to be...
I wouldn't listen to that.
I wouldn't either. Cinco de la Tarde this afternoon, we are going to be live from the Gibson before the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness.
Now, how does this work, Ralph? If you have tickets to our show tonight, the doors are opening early so you can come in and see the radio show at happy hour, right?
The April Foolishness
That's
show?
Right.
Yes. The gates will be opening at 4:30. So you can cruise on by if you want to come by early and see us do our little radio show. And then there's a happy hour set up. We've got bars and food in front of the venue. And then the doors open at 7 o'clock, so you can go in and take your seats for the Foolishness show.
Good time. So we'll see you out there this afternoon at 5. Couple of quick notes before we sing. Psycho Mike, you got something going on this weekend for the kids.
I will be at the Verizon Wireless store in Santa Clarita tomorrow on Golden Valley Road. Yeah, that's it.
Golden Shower Road, I think it is.
That's right. Yeah. I have Avenged Sevenfold tickets for April 16th at the Nokia. So come out there and get those. Plus, I got a bunch of other K-Rock stuff, and I'll be there, so it's good enough.
Beer mug, you too?
What? I will be at Santa Monica.
What happened to you?
Oh, my God, Ed.
A little bit of partying.
Sweatpants and untucked shirt.
Did you get punched in the throat by an MMA fighter?
Yeah.
You did, actually.
A lot of alcohol, too.
Play the clip.
Wow, it never sounded worse.
I know.
Go ahead.
But I will be at Santa Monica Beach. They are going to be doing a mock Ninja Warrior course, that show on G4.
Yeah.
Ninja Warrior.
Yes.
They're going to have hot G4 television host Olivia Munn down there.
Oh, what? She's fantastic.
Yeah, she is.
And I will be
His
down there.
His event's way better than yours.
Yeah. I will be down there participating in the course. Lightning Scorsese will be down there with his 795 camera angles. And it's going to be fun. So open to the public.
Would you say it's going to be outrageous?
It's going to be outrageous.
All right. When and what time?
It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday.
Okay. By the way, close your eyes. And beer mug sounds exactly like Cat Crow, but on a regular day, doesn't it?
You
you could sit in for Cap today.
Let's
awesome.
Do it.
All right, good times. Thank you very much, and we'll see everybody out there this afternoon at 5 at the Gibson Amphitheater for Kevin Amin's first annual April Foolishness. Thanks, Money.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, yeah. Don't I get to sing? You want me to leave?
Right, Money.
Sing.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Don't sing.
Pass it over to me.
You can't hold me down.
Weed at work today. Y'all want to try it out?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Wake and bake.
Roll another one.
How much you selling that weed for, old man?
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed every day.
This one seems to be about
quit. I'm so high.
And I need another hit.
Kat, what's coming up on your show next hour?
We have Rise Against, a little Damian Jr. Gong Marley, and a new one from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
You're so hot. Can I touch them?
Hot.
Yes.
Roll.
I'm going to smoke pot every day.
Just like the other one.
You goddamn dumb stoner.
This one seems to be hot.
We smoke too many pot.
I don't have another cent.
I spent the weekend getting crazy high all weekend. I can't remember.
God damn it, I love pot.
Marijuana is delicious.
Thank you.
Take a look at the end.
What happens at the end?
Very well, then. The Falcon has spoken.
This is an utter failure. We need to end it and let these boys go home.
See y'all in a minute. OG Diddy, signing off. We'll be back every half an hour. Who can do this? Peace!
Okay, great meeting.
Pavlov into the blue line. He shoots. He scores! Say hi to Jane Biondi for me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin Amin Cinco de la Tarde live from Gibson Amphitheater for the Kevin Amin April Foolishness, which is tonight.
Tonight is the big all-star night of comedy in the building right ahead of us. By the way, Amy, the wonderful promotions director here at the world-famous K-Rock, tells me that celebrities who thought they had friends that were coming with them decided not to or couldn't for whatever reason.
Oh.
Gave those tickets back, putting them back in the box office.
Awesome.
And these are the seats that are the friends of the celebrities, so these are super good, like orchestra seats.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
These are down front, high-end seats. There's about 40 available right now.
Wow, awesome.
Which is an unbelievable deal, considering the lineup of comedy that we have
just
here tonight.
Come down here and just bum rush to the gates.
Well, the only place they're available is the box office the front of the Gibson Amphitheater.
That's pretty cool.
Now, the reason we're doing this event tonight with Joe Rogan and Patton Oswalt and Jimmy Kimmel and all the great comedians that are joining us is because, A, we love the comedy, as you know, although maybe you didn't get that idea from listening to our show.
We like comedy. We can't do comedy, but we like it.
And B, we thought, why not raise money for the best cause in the world, boobs, ladies and gentlemen.
Boobs! Let's hear it for boobs.
I want to welcome Justine and Blair from Boarding for Breast Cancer. Hi, guys. Girls.
Hello.
Chicks. How are you?
We're great.
All right. First, we have to teach being the difference between men and women. That's our first class.
We don't have that kind of time, Ralph.
No. Boarding for Breast Cancer. Who would want to board and then get breast cancer? That sounds like a horrible idea.
I don't think that's...
What's the deal? What's the organization all about?
Well, we are a youth-focused breast cancer education and outreach organization. Mm-hmm. We go to over 70 action sports, so surfing, snowboarding, skateboarding, and music events, to teach young girls about the fact that they can get breast cancer at a young age, so the value of an early detection, doing self-detection, and the...
You are a bummer.
You know? You see her coming, you go, no.
No.
Why does it have to be self-detection, though? Why can't that be a job that someone can get?
Well, she has a...
there are gynecologists who will do
that
for
you.
They have a board here who has some fake boobs on it.
Oh, I see.
Very realistic. I felt them all.
At what age should girls start testing themselves or giving themselves examinations?
Well, the American Cancer Society says about 21. Mm-hmm. But we typically have younger girls at our events, so we tell them when you start getting boobies...
Go ahead and check them out.
Yeah, check them out.
Now, do most girls know what it is they're looking for?
Actually, they don't.
Yeah.
And that's why we have these lovely three jelly breast molds. that we're going to be teaching the both of you how to do a self-breast exam.
Oh,
on.
I can't wait to see
that. Fantastic.
Right. Shows you the difference of what you might be feeling if you do a self-breast exam. Because a lot of breasts are really lumpy and bumpy. They're called fibrocystic tissue. It's really normal. It's something to freak out about.
Yeah.
So we don't want girls like, oh, my God, I felt something freaking out. So
right.
We like to be really kind of thorough with this is what, you know, something that you would be concerned about might feel like.
We're going
to
raise a ton of cash tonight.
Awesome.
With the ticket sales. And again, we couldn't thank the talent more for donating their time so that we're able to keep the ticket price so low so that we can give all the money to charity. But what will you use that money for? Where will it go?
To send our girls out. This is Blair, and she
Hi, Blair.
Is our Hello. Youth education director. And like I said, we go across the country to over 75 events per year, mm-hmm. teaching young girls and young men the importance of early breast self-detection.
Now, when you say young men.
Well...
Men get breast cancer, right?
Well, they do.
Not nearly as much.
Did
yeah,
Tell actually, Williams yeah. get the breast cancer a
nope.
couple years ago?
Thought he did.
Yeah. Misdiagnosed.
Misdiagnosed, really?
Really?
Wow. And then they said, remember the whole thing about breast cancer? Don't have it.
Remember when we took your breast tissue?
Didn't oh,
they should have come to you. You would have been able to tell them. When do you do the musical
Blair
event?
Can jump in on that one. She
yeah,
knows
it's not as common for men, obviously, to develop breast cancer, but it can happen. There's about 2,000 cases per year. But mostly,
they're gay guys, though, right? I mean.
I think so, yeah.
Do you have to have boobs?
No, actually, you know, I've met young men who do not have man boobs. They actually are very well-fit men who have had breast cancer. So
wow.
that's a misconception.
Do
wow.
they not tell anyone? I mean, honestly, right?
I can't imagine how difficult it must be for a guy to go through breast cancer, for anyone to go through breast cancer.
They usually call it pec cancer.
Exactly.
I've got pec cancer, dude.
Helps, right.
But we have a good reason why guys need to know yes. how to do a self-breast exam, which
about
is...
30% of women's lumps are found by their partners. So
is that right? So that's a high number.
It's that a is. Very significant number, so it's very important for guys to know the difference between a cancerous lump and what's a normal healthy lump as well.
What's the difference?
Yeah, can you describe on the radio what to look for?
Certainly. So we have these boobs that you've been talking about in front
yes,
of
do.
Us. Uh-huh. It's one's a breast with no lumps.
I get to
feel
take
one,
these home,
Kevin.
By the way. I get these. Huh? Yes, I did. Yes.
Take a good feel.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no lumps in that one. The middle
the
one has what's fibrocystic
yeah.
tissue.
The way you handle that breast. Your wife
just went right in.
Well, yeah, no feelings for this one. You know.
So a normal healthy lump is going to be a little bit more fattier feeling, and you can push through it. Whereas something that's potentially cancerous, if you want to take your two fingers and feel right here, kind of feels like a frozen pea. It's going to be really solid.
Yes, it does.
So that's not normal. So if a woman or a guy finds something like that, you want to go to the doctor and get that looked at.
By the way, even if it's a frozen pea in your breast, that's not normal either.
you should
avoid that. Yeah.
Look into medical care with that, too.
Yeah, I shouldn't have that either.
B4, that's the letter B, the number 4, bc.org. That's
yes,
your website
that's
where people
our website.
Can go.
Yep.
And that'll give them some of the advice that you've passed along here on the radio, and especially for young women, go and make sure you know what you're doing.
Absolutely. It has a calendar of our events where we're going to be across the country. It has lots of health information.
Awesome.
Information as to how to volunteer and, of course, how to donate.
Are you guys going to stay for the show tonight?
Of course we
coming?
Are. Yeah.
Thank you for coming by.
Hey.
We're out of time.
We are out of time.
We're out of time.
What?
Because we use the models.
What?
I forgot to use Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo was offered to. We'll do that off the air.
What?
We'll do that off the air.
I don't think you could do it off the air.
That's no way.
I'll do that. I'll do that right now.
Miss Cleo says I'll be the dummy if you'd like.
Well,
not dummy, but
oh, you're calling her stupid.
No, I mean,
you're saying you're calling her stupid.
She said we could test her boobs.
Well, too late, I say.
Kevin and Beans.
Oh, well.
We don't have enough time.
Rock
of the '90s. We continues right after this on K.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin Bean Cinco de la Tarde live from Gibson Amphitheater.
Got the one guy over here giving us the courtesy applause, by the way. We
nice
appreciate that.
God
this
bless
is like 400 people here, one guy applauding for
but
us.
But he's also wearing a hat that says Japan from the World Baseball Classic. So what's
that
about?
With that.
Yeah, that's that.
We're live at the Gibson. Tonight, of course, is an all-star night of comedy. It's Kevin Bean's first annual April Foolishness. We made the announcement a few minutes ago. Ralph, do I have this right? Good seats at the box office that you can buy only here at the Gibson right now.
About 40 up-close and personal seats have been released just minutes ago. So if you come down to the box office at the Gibson, you'll be able to get some pretty cool seats if you hurry.
Got a huge night, of course. Kevin Nealon, Ray Romano, Joe Rogan, Patton Oswalt, Sarah Silverman, our friend Jimmy Kimmel, Cleto and the Cletones. What about Craig Robinson? Is he
our hero? Our hero stepped in at the last minute.
Yes, filling in for Jay Moore, Craig Robinson. Mr. Robinson is here with us, too, at the Gibson.
Greetings. What's greetings. Up, it is a pleasure to be amongst you, and I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
I've never heard you talk like that.
It's my radio voice.
Ah,
it's his charity show voice.
we couldn't have been when Jay Moore had to bail, and we felt terrible about that. And we thought, well, if we could find someone great, we'll put somebody else on the bill.
Right.
Sorry about that.
If not,
we've got Craig Rose in our back pockets.
but we did say if not, we have plenty of comedians. We don't need
that's
that.
Already a big night. We just couldn't believe you, big time star, available on a Friday night. It's so awesome that you made time for us, dude.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it, man. And I brought some people to join me on stage.
Now at the soundcheck, you had a full band.
A full band, the Nasty Delicious, Craig Robinson and the Nasty,
Nasty Delicious.
Yeah, and these guys are amazing. Each one of them has their own band and their own CDs and their own rights. So for them to come together. It's
now,
just,
what songs?
It's beyond all star.
What songs do you sing?
Well, we're gonna do some stuff. I don't want to give it away. I want to surprise the crowd.
Okay.
We're gonna do some stuff that's familiar and an original or two, and then it's gonna be some jokes woven throughout.
Okay, all right.
So yeah, it's gonna be fun. So if you come in tonight, get up and dance. Don't be afraid when we come out there, because that's what we want you to do—to dance and laugh at the same time.
That's true of all the comedians.
Absolutely.
By the way, they want you to dance when you hear them. Right?
Oh, get up and dance.
Craig Robinson Comedy Dance.
Now that James Brown is gone, you're the new Godfather of Soul. I feel.
I appreciate that, and you know, to step into those shoes. I don't know if I'm ready to take that reign over, but man,
you don't have a choice, man.
Well, here I am.
All right.
Here I am, world. Bring it.
Take
your panties off.
Long before we knew you on The Office.
Wait a minute. The world wears panties?
Yes, panties off. World, world, take your panties off.
How did it happen, Greg? Long before we knew you from your acting on The Office and in all the movies and stuff like that, I know you were doing stand-up. How did the idea come to you? You know what I need is a soul band to back me up on my stand-up.
Well, you know, I've always played the keyboard in my act. This keyboard travels as my partner. Mm-hmm. So it was, natural as being a musician and coming from playing at church and playing with bands and things like that. I started doing it. It was four of us guys, and we were all comedians who happened to play instruments. So we had a little something like that going on. Then we dispersed, but I wanted to keep it going, so I just brought in
ringers. You brought in ringers.
Brought in ringers. Yeah, including my brother, who's Chris Robb, who you might know.
Your
him.
Brother is Chris Robb?
Chris Robb, yeah.
Oh,
Chris
Robb.
Robb.
Chris Robb.
That's him sitting over there.
All right.
Yeah, and then I got...
Boy, he got the looks.
Dave
tell you that.
Sampson.
You got ripped off, Craig. I got news for you.
Yeah.
He's Usher sitting over there. Yeah. And look at you. That had to be hard growing up.
No. I used to be, you know, right with him, and then I decided, hey, I like eating.
Yeah.
Right on. So, and then, so he came out from New York to do, you know, this
gig. No kidding. That's
cool.
Wow.
Yeah, just to do this. And he had to record all week. And also, we got Dave Sampson over there. He's on guitar. We got my man Winston Burr on trumpet. And my man Deej over there on percussion. And a few more cats coming in.
Well,
so, yeah.
You're going for it tonight, man, and your time on stage. I appreciate that you brought the whole act. And we can't wait to see you out there tonight.
My pleasure,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Thank
James
you for
Brown
having
of comedy
me.
Right here.
I like that.
Yeah. All right. We're here live at the Gibson Amphitheater. You can come on down if you have tickets. By the way, the gates are already open. And how's it work, Ralph? Once we're done, there's a happy hour, right? Food, drinks, the whole deal?
Right in front of the Gibson Amphitheater. There's a bar and there's tacos and all kinds of food and stuff. You can hang out and we'll just party.
And tacos is code.
Yeah. Wink, wink, tacos.
Quick, you know what
wink.
I mean?
And Ralph's got the showbiz beat right after this on the world famous K-Rock. Thanks, Craig.
I died.
That guy died.
I died.
And then that guy walked by.
And I kept talking and boring everyone at the end of a song, even though I died.
Then another dude came by and said,
then I died.
We're on, you guys. It's Kevin Amin, Cinco de la Tarde, live on a Friday afternoon at the Gibson Amphitheater. By the way, all weekend long here on K-Rock. Rock of the 90s, including tickets you can win to Nine Inch Nails, Jane's Addiction, No Doubt, Depeche Mode, The Offspring, U2. So your chance to win coming up. And Nicole has 60 minutes of zero commercials on the way as soon as Ralph is done with the showbiz beat for a Friday. Hey, Ralph.
Bar's open.
Yeah, Ralph's already
sure
drinking.
Yep.
It's going to be worse than normal, people.
Ralph's always drinking during the 5 o'clock
hour,
well,
though. That's true.
But
talk showbiz, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
This one's just for Kevin. Kevin, another movie star has saved a life.
Oh, thank God they're here for us.
You know, movie star has come to the rescue.
Yep.
This time it was Demi Moore.
Really?
That's who you want to save you.
Demi Moore is so talented, she saved a woman's life electronically.
What?
She did it digitally.
What are you talking
about?
She
saved a woman's life via Twitter.
Wait, did someone Twitter, I'm going to kill myself unless somebody can talk me out of it?
Exactly. That's what happened.
Really?
No, that's not what happened. Someone Twittered Demi Moore's page and said, I'm going to kill myself. Well, Demi Moore jumped into action and contacted the San Jose police where the woman was texting from. They found the woman and got her into the hospital, and she is safe.
Now, if Kevin were running things, because Demi Moore was a celebrity, she would look at that and say, just let her die, right?
Just screw you.
I'm just going to pass because I'm not going to help.
I think perhaps celebrities and PR people exaggerate their effect a little.
Even Ashton Kutcher now is tweeting about his wife's quick thinking. Woo, cheered for Twitter. Twitter fans in the audience. Here's what he wrote. Wifey reported a suicide attempt based on a reply tweet she got and saved someone's life.
Okay.
Wrote That's Ashton Kutcher.
Wrote?
Yes.
Huh.
So there's the update from Ashton Kutcher's Twitter
account. Well, that was insightful.
Account.
Thank you.
Well, I hope Demi tweets about what Ashton Kutcher wrote about her tweet.
I'd like to see Demi Moore's tweet.
I know you would, but I...
Speaking of electronic devices, Disney star Selena Gomez has announced that her BlackBerry was stolen in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
It was stolen yesterday while she was filming a movie.
Uh-huh. How old is she, Ralph?
Like 11. Oh. I don't know. How old is Selena Gomez? Anyone know?
She's like 15.
15?
Yeah.
So we can't have sex with her for like a year? Right?
No,
3 years.
It's,
oh, is it three?
Yeah.
It's three
now. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's
We're
18.
In California. That's not how I roll.
Just take her to Mexico.
Her BlackBerry was stolen yesterday, and today, pictures from the BlackBerry have been leaked on the internet already.
Wow.
That's how quick the turnaround was.
That's the way to do it.
Is she in the shower with Miley? What's going on? What's
she
doing?
She is 12, so let's keep it clean. But they were bikini pictures on the beach, apparently.
Yeah. Sure.
Two of those have already been leaked on the internet. You can find her posing with fans in a red bikini, if you're so inclined.
Okay. Which bean is?
All right.
Madonna has heard something she hasn't heard in a long time.
Yeah.
The word no.
Yeah, no kidding.
In Malawi, you know, she's trying to adopt another kid.
They said no to her?
The judge there said, no, you cannot adopt.
How about that?
Apparently, the high court says that Madonna has not satisfied a requirement that makes prospective parents be a resident of the country for 18 to 24 months.
Oh, she won't do that.
She has to live in Malawi if she wants to adopt
a
kid.
How
that's
did she
not
get?
Happening.
How did she get David, the one she stole last year?
I don't believe she stole the child. I think she adopted
That's your answer. She stole the child.
The residency rule was waived by the High Court in 2006 when she got David, but they will not do it this time, so she is not being able to adopt a second child.
The little kid is like, what?
I was going to score.
What? You mean he gets to? And I?
It's not fair.
But there are lots of countries.
Michael Jackson's on the phone? No.
To go with him.
Not going.
There are lots of countries she can go to get a baby, right? Just because Malawi's out doesn't mean she won't.
Well,
go
the good news is America's empty. There's no orphans left in America.
That is true.
She's got to shop around the world to find a baby. So her attorneys are taking it to an appeals court in Malawi, which I think is like a guy with a burro or something. Yeah. That's their appeals court.
I've heard, by the way, that a lot of countries, they don't like you to adopt if you're in your 50s. They don't consider that's the best case scenario for a kid. I wonder if that works against her at all.
Well, the reason they... waived that law the first time around in 2006 is because she was married and had a stable home life with her husband, Guy Ritchie.
Interesting.
Now that she's divorcing him and is a single mother, they're looking less favorably upon her
That's
situation.
Great that they have standards, but how's the kid living right now?
That's what I want to know. That's what I was wondering.
Apparently he's living in a bucket of poop, it says.
I mean, come on.
He's living in a bucket of yak poop. I don't know if that means anything.
All right, so it's not ideal. Okay, is it better?
Still better, okay.
The sad part is this child, Mercy James is apparently the name of this baby, has family who would like to raise her. Oh. But doesn't have the wherewithal, doesn't have the financial wherewithal to be able to do it. That's why the kid's in an orphanage.
Well, why didn't she just give him the money?
That's what I'm saying. Write him a check.
Okay.
But she wants to collect them all.
Has the kid tweeted about this at all?
The kid has tweeted to Demi Moore and said, I'm going to kill myself in this bucket of yak poop unless someone steps
That's
in.
That's a terrible way to go.
It really is.
You've ever been in a bucket of yak
you
poop.
You do not want to be
awful.
Yacked to death.
No. Terrible.
And Heidi Montag has announced she's working on more music for all of you who are
Yes. Thank God.
Yes.
Who's applauding that? Who's applauding new music from Heidi, people? Come on.
Oh, it's going to be so bad.
She's working on an entire album of tracks, including some duets with her better half, Spencer Pratt.
Yes.
Heidi gushed to Us Weekly magazine. The drinks are kicking
in. Have another drink, Ralph.
Us Weekly magazine that Spencer can not only sing, but he raps as well on some of the tracks.
Can't wait.
That's going that far. Hey, Spencer, what's up? We were just talking about you. I didn't know you were going to be here.
That's right. Hey, what's up, everybody? How you doing?
Spencer,
yeah.
What's up, man?
Give me bottle service, baby doll.
There's no bottle service here.
Yeah, meet your Hyde later.
Are you going to rap on Hyde?
That's right, dog. 1, 2, 3, 4. Watch me hit the door. Don't want to mess with me no more, Thug Life.
It's going to be good.
Oh, wow.
Sick.
Can't wait.
I don't know if you've seen the teasers for the upcoming 5th season of The Hills or not, but apparently in the first episode, Spencer gets into a fight at a bar. Hits one of his friends right
That's right. That's right. You know, if someone tries to do me wrong, I got to chin check them real proper like.
Wow, I hate you.
You know how it goes, kid. All right. Rocking the chin beard, kid. Hey, ladies. Sorry, I'm taken. Sorry.
Where is your lovely girlfriend slash pseudo wife Heidi?
This evening? She's in the studio right now.
Oh, she's working
with Scott Storch.
Yeah, Scott Storch.
She's
with Larry Storch. Two people right now.
Good reference. Good reference.
Thank
Rob.
You so much. Right. Good reference from the '50s.
You got to get that.
He was F troop, wasn't he?
Come on.
Really?
You're not making an F troop reference.
Yeah, it was an F troop.
Come on.
Well done, Ralph.
Take it back.
All right, Ralph knows his audience. Come on.
I thought Scott Storch was too obscure.
Larry Storch. How many Storches are there? You know?
That's just them.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Wayne Newton is 67 years old today. Yeah. A lot of Wayne Newton fans in the crowd.
I know you like to make fun of Kevin Bean in the early years, but we had Mr. Newton on a couple of times back in the 90s as a guest on the show.
Really? Proud of that, are you?
No, I don't think I would have brought that up.
He was a fascinating dude.
Tony Orlando, speaking of people he had on in the early years, celebrates his 65th birthday today. Mick Mars of Motley Crue is 53, but it's a young, virile 53.
That's true.
Mick Mars, if you've seen him lately. Alec Baldwin is 51 years old. David Hyde Pierce from Frasier turns 50. Eddie Murphy turns 48 years old today. Mike Ness of Social D is 47. Sebastian Bach of Kid Row is 41. Jenny Garth from Beverly Hills 90210 turns 37. Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother is 27. Leona Lewis turns 24. And Amanda Bynes is 23. That is the most birthdays I've ever had in one day.
That's correct.
Have another drink.
I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
Or the show.